and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from there. Why not feel good? Look at the eye candy. Why?
Stephanie.
Oh, what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be? Hump Days with Hal Sparks?
Yes.
Hi, Hunky.
Hi.
Good morning.
Hiya. How are you?
I'm having a good week yesterday. I'm having a good week.
The reviews are in.
People love the Orly Tate interview.
Yeah. What a surprise. Even Chris. We were talking about this morning.
Oh, really? Everybody said that Chris is the only one that didn't look happy. Because why? She's already been so thoroughly debunked,
right.
Chris, that I thought...
Well, no.
Why be mean to her? I wanted to be sweet to
her.
Right.
I loved having her in. Right. That she was disarmingly charming.
She was very sweet.
Yes.
And she's, I mean, all
but
of
But don't
points.
You have to be cuckoo pants and get
yeah,
anywhere?
Yeah, she was cuckoo pants.
That's what
when
I mean.
She compared herself to Nelson Mandela, my jaw dropped.
That was comedy gold. I was like, you're Nelson Mandela in this situation.
Right.
Because you're fighting to get rid of the first black president. Oh,
yeah.
That is genius.
Hmm.
Oh, it's awesome. Actually, I brought her a DVD.
Hal's not buying it.
I'm not buying it at
all.
She
brought me a DVD. I told Chris to pull some clips from it. I would love to see. That's one of her...
Guess what I get to watch today.
Zillion, one of her zillion trials that she's lost. And Hal, here's what I said, because we're helpers.
Sure.
I didn't realize until I prepped for it how many cases she's actually lost.
Yeah.
And the sexy liberal in me, I felt magically empathetic, and I was trying to help her. I said, look, maybe birtherism, just not your thing.
Right.
Maybe the parachute, a different color. Let's try to find another hobby.
I don't know. I think she seems quite happy. I mean, after a while...
She's the Energizer birther. She's
after
relentless.
After losing that many cases, she has to like it to some degree.
Yeah.
Like another lose.
Well, look, I'm back in
it's
television.
It's like a warm bath.
It gets her just as much attention as
totally.
If she wins.
Totally. Right. Why win when losing gets you on radio? You see what
I
mean?
Say,
there is no
the
standard
most,
by which...
There's no downside.
The
right.
most magical moment, Hal, though, was after the show, because when she said that Bin Laden was killed earlier and that his body probably kept on ice, then it was like her and Jim just pure magic.
Yeah.
Their heads went together. They probably went out for coffee. They started chatting.
They became as one.
Well, she pointed out correctly that Benazir Bhutto said that he had already been killed shortly before she herself
did
was killed.
Did we not say before
I
the
said this,
interview
there's gonna be a love
that
connection.
There was going to be something between you two?
She
was actually...
On that point...
She was very pretty, and she was... I thought. And yes.
Okay, clearly
was
there was
charming.
Some sort of hypnosis ray. That's what happened. I'm not buying it.
And
like,
she said on her website, people told me that I was very nice to her. She drove all the way up from Orange County, which, listen, there's a, you know, we have a simpatico.
But you have to be crazy
to
do it.
Anyway.
Special kind of hell.
From Orange County in rush hour, you know what? I'm going to be nice to you. So anyway. All right.
I'm fascinated by your just overwhelming love.
After you left and we were out there copying the documents that she gave us.
She had a stack of documents.
Yeah.
She goes, I would not go to see this.
Yeah.
You can copy these. And so I went out. I said, Rebecca.
Right. Why not? They've been photocopied a zillion times already.
So, I tried to determine what sort of printer she made them on. Yes, I wanted to, because I have a thing with my
the
laser
Moldova
printer.
Moldova 3000.
I'm dating my HP. I did neglect to ask her for her birth certificate, Jim, because I'm still not entirely certain she's not from the fictional city and dynasty. But I don't know.
Moldova, not Moldavia.
Moldavia was a Soviet Socialist Republic. It wasn't a city.
Oh. Yeah.
Anyway, but I very nicely asked Rebecca. I said, could you please copy these?
Sure.
Early would like me to have these, and I would like to have a copy.
So while we were making the copy, she and I were making conversation. I asked her about that interview on MSNBC where she...
Look at this!
That one.
Right.
And she said she gave the excuse that she had been flying all night to Tel Aviv. It was...
Boy, were her
and
tired.
And they called her to be on right away, so she rushed right back.
She was
very
tired. Had her facts a little jumbled.
She was very tired, and she said they were mean to her.
Her case was... She had not made her case as well as she had in the previous 75 trials that she lost.
That's right. So that was her excuse. I just had to find out
about
that.
I think our current TV audience is convinced because she went like this to the camera. I have these documents here.
Oh, well, in that case.
I was like, well, hold that up because that sure is...
Yeah, grab
yeah,
a,
about 1,000 people debunked the Social Security thing. That's been so thoroughly debunked. Yeah. Why spend time arguing with her? It's
why,
like, I,
yes,
no.
Fellow cuckoo bananas who might be watching out there in TV land, grab screen caps of documents waved at cameras. That's official. If I've ever seen evidence, Quincy could not verify.
What we did yesterday
that's an official blur right there.
We gave her rope and she hung herself with it.
Yes. So it was, she said,
that's a great way to look at
it. She tweeted and said, call Stephanie Miller, don't be Obama lackey. Give me opportunity to present case. And so I was like, absolutely.
Okay. You betcha.
When can you come?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Well.
Okay, Margaret Madison with an unsolicited testimonial. Wow, Steph. I was one of those people who thought it was a dopey idea to have Ms. Tates on the show. But you know what? Thank you for having her. Yes, she's still the birther queen. Yes, she's still off her bloody rocker. But thanks for showing us the more human side of her. It was surprisingly enchanting to hear her giggle at your teasing remarks at the start of the interview.
Yeah.
And I thought you did a great job allowing her to put forth some of her theories while you were gently but firmly disagreeing with her. I was so much more interested in the discussion than I thought it would be. Have fun in Tuscany. I saw an article in the New York Times about these bike tours. Looks like a ridiculous thing to do for fun, but you all go on with your bad, cycly, whiny self, darling.
Aww.
Margaret Madison, thank you. I will.
Hmm.
I will. Okay.
Hal's not buying it at all.
Not buying it at all. But I think that's adorable. You know,
have fallen under her spell, Hal Sparks.
Nope. Sorry.
Is she under
Here's
yours?
The thing. This is the same thing that happens when people talk about how charming George Bush was. Remember that whole crap?
No, I never said that.
That's because you never met him.
Right.
She's not a war criminal.
I agree. That's not the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is that everybody always says, well, you know, you get right down to it, though. And he's just a real fun guy to be. I'm like, maybe you're the kind of person who just gives another person enough social space to be bananas. And we all have that guard. The analogy I was giving Chris was that you're in the supermarket and you're standing in line and somebody completely crazy just, you know, with a giant jug of vodka
talking to themselves,
and Twinkies, just rah, 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 you know, in line behind you, and you don't say anything, you don't confront them, you just kind of go, and then if they do something horrible, like start stuffing food in them, you don't go, hey, those aren't your Reese's Pieces. You go, is there a manager nearby?
Right. You don't confront them, you talk to a manager.
Same
why
social.
Your Woody Allen face?
Excuse me.
I happen to have Marshall McLuhan right here.
Yeah, you know nothing about my work. But the point I'm trying to make is that same reflex when turned loose and you're in a cave here with this other person. There's this maybe it's a primeval like
or it's like a Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah,
kind of
right.
Thing.
There's a little
but
bit of that going on.
Her. Right. I wasn't her captor. She wasn't mine.
Mm.
In fact, I may have her back, Hal. So there, take that. She's like,
we've had a lot of.
Back. And I was like, I wouldn't
doubt it. You're
to
just proving
back.
My point.
I may get her a jingle.
You're just proving my point.
Listen.
You may commission a jingle for her.
How do you think I got on the show? Nobody else would let me on radio.
Listen, don't
I just
be afraid of
I didn't
new
even have
people.
To flex my muscles hypno-ray-wise.
Don't be afraid of
I
new
got
people. We thought it could not get any better having our TV show or our radio show televised than current. And then Jackie Schechner came along.
Hello, world.
She's dancing, I can feel it.
Yep. Uh-huh.
A whole lot of stories is what she's singing. We bring you Jackie. Come on, it's Jackie.
Adorable.
By the way, we have to thank Audra in Minneapolis who sang with Rocky Mountain Mike.
Very nice.
Who were very that was very sweet. You know Billy in Texas, the guy that always calls you a mouthy little feller?
Me? Oh, yeah, sure.
He's got a jingle, too, because that's how nice
Billy's
we are.
Billy's hanging around in that Texas town with
like
a phone call from the rain.
Uh-oh.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you know
what I'm just let him go if you want to know how his talking points are strange. How does he come up with his stuff? How does he...
Well, I'm not buying that either. No, I'm not buying that either.
Oh, fun fact about Moldova.
Yes, yes, sir.
Moldova is known for its wines.
Really?
For many years, viticulture and winemaking in Moldova were the general occupation of the population. Evidence is present in historical memories and documents, folklore, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Wow.
Moldova consumes the highest amount of alcohol per capita in the world.
Oh, well, that explains a
wow,
lot.
Wow, no yeah. wonder I liked her.
Mystery
salt. By the way, Elvira brought me wine. Elvira brought me Elvira Cabernet.
And you left it here yesterday.
I know. I forgot. I'm going to bring. Believe me, I'm bringing it
Elvira
home tonight.
Elvira is a lovely person. Please yes, do not conflate her
that's
in
why I'm
oily
wearing,
taints.
I'm wearing my Elvira wrong. Shirt. Today, in honor of the story she told about being on a date with one of the Osmond brothers and meeting Frank Sinatra, who said nice, but she actually said instead of boobs.
Right. So we had to bleep it.
We had to bleep it. But
sure.
Yesterday's show was a little bit of magic, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
You should go on a bike tour of Moldova.
Yeah, you know what? Somebody speculated what might have happened. That we would have totally been punked, Chris. Jeff in Salem said, hi, Steph and the Mooks. It occurred to me, what if Orly Tate's performance art, a completely made-up spoof persona like Borat or Elvira? And at the end of the interview, she takes off her wig and speaks as if she graduated from Harvard. Oh, finally letting us
so
in on the joke.
That's where Sherry O'Terry is.
Yeah. Right.
I love Sherry O'Terry.
No, except Sherry about half the size.
Yeah, half the size of Orly Tate. No. Yeah.
Right.
Sherry O'Terry on steroids.
Right.
Sherry O'Sterry.
Oh? All right. Oh, wait. And one more love letter. This one is just a magical 6 degrees of sexy liberal separation.
Oh,
our sexy liberal Hal Sparks is with us in the family this morning. Roland, sexy liberal tour director in New York, writes, I have to share this story with everyone because it's too strange not to be true. Last week when hell decided to take over New York City with 100 degrees and 100% humidity, two of my three ACs literally died.
Ooh.
Happened last Wednesday. Earliest I can get anyone here was today. That was yesterday.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So the AC guy shows up at 1 p.m. Was supposed to be here at 10:30 a.m. between 10:30 to noon. Blue collar guy from Westchester gets paid by the hour, of course. So the first hour, he's very slowly fixing the first AC. There isn't much chit chat. Near the AC, though, is my little wine fridge. On top of it, a sexy liberal CD. He walks toward the other room to start working on the other side, looks down at the CD, picks it up, and goes, you listen to Stephanie Miller? Before I can say anything more, he has a recognition moment and says, wait, you're Roland from the show that she says is all nervous and jittery and stuff.
Oh, no.
The glacial pace was quick, and my second AC was fixed in about 15 minutes. Turns out this guy's a very dedicated listener from White Plains who listened previously on Sirius, now watches on Current, and chatting with him after his recognition moment admitted he was late for my 11 a.m. appointment because he wanted to see what would happen with Orly Tate's. He expected a Jerry Springer-style throwdown and couldn't leave his house, even though he had probably 8 service calls today. I apologize to everyone in the New York area whose AC guy was late because he was waiting to see my Orly Tate's interview. That's hilarious.
Wow.
Oh, Lord.
I remember having a little window unit in Chicago, 4th floor walk-up.
Oh, I didn't even have a window unit in Chicago. I had nothing.
And 98%
we boiled
humidity.
Water
right.
just to make it worse. It was we have 104% humidity. I had to wear a snorkel in my apartment, says Chris
one
LeBoy.
Unfortunate
I had to
PS to Roland's story.
Yeah.
One unfortunate PS. He said, of course, it ended with him saying, the way she described you, I thought you were super Jewish. Ah, blue collar anti-Semitism. Always entertaining.
Super Jewish.
You're not as Jewy as I thought you were.
You're just Jewy enough.
Exactly the
wow.
right amount. All right, 19 minutes after the hour. Big show to get to. Representative Jackie Speier. Lots to talk about. Hump Days with Hal Sparks. It's magic on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's her political party, and she'll cry if she wants to. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 24 minutes after the hour. Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
Hi, yes.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
What?
Cute. Give them it. Every time I see him, it gets worse. Pam in New Hampshire, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Squee! Hi, Pam! Oh yes, right. If affordable care, right? Affordable care gets struck down, he's wasted his whole presidency so far. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
And you can't take our driver's license anymore because we can't afford our hospital bill. So how is that good for Romney if they strike it down for Obama?
Well, the joke is every time he mentions quote unquote Obamacare, which he names, he acts as if Obama calls it Obamacare himself. Mm-hmm. Every time he says it, everybody knows that the Romney Care name is attached to it training wheels. So the illusion that somehow this benefits him is ridiculous.
But you know what I think?
Yeah.
I really think that for a white man it's okay, and for a black man it's not.
Well, I think that's the demographic he's shooting for. I think that's what's left of the main voters in the Republican Party now.
Well, it's really scary because I just got diagnosed with cancer, and I haven't had to pay anything for my mammograms. And I'm telling you what, I don't want to get another insurance company where they say they can't take care of me because...
You have a pre-existing condition.
Exactly. So I'm really scared because I've saved a lot of money since April having to get this testing done.
You know, the reality of this is starting to sink in for a lot of real people like you, that all these real provisions that are in the Affordable Care Act, that you know, you're right, this is not politics anymore, it's people. And I'm so sorry. Hang in there, okay?
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Big hug from all of us.
Yeah. Lawrence O'Donnell pointed out last night that the mandate itself was so watered down that it ended up being a $100 fine that if you don't get buy your own insurance, and that it's non-enforceable. So ultimately, they figured out a way economically within the budgetary constraints of it to make the whole program work, even if everybody blows off the mandate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's the other part. The other part is that, you know, one of the big provisions allows for states, for example, like Vermont, that have their own, you know, single-payer system within the state, to offer them on the exchange once the exchanges kick in 2014, which means you have single-payer. You just have it, though, from several different governmental sources instead of just one, instead
I know,
of one federal
it.
System.
We'll get to that later. Yeah. I read a great piece, Hal, about that, you know, a lot of single-payer people are saying this absolutely could blow the door open.
Yeah.
For single payer.
Well, there's already an Easter egg in the bill for that.
Give me some happy clappy music since my happy clappy friend Hal is here from Julie in Seattle. Steph, Scalia often seems unhinged and pissed off in a way that suggests to me he's mad about something else, maybe not getting his way in the challenge to health care. This is speculation, but that bench statement he read in the Arizona case broke all kinds of basic judge behavior and normal restrained speech rules in a manner suggesting he's very unhappy about something. Even for him, this is new and obviously new low. Referring to the president's ruling from last week and other preposterous things not established or even an issue in the case being pronounced is judicially unheard of. If I were a Justice Roberts or Kennedy, I would not want to be in a bare majority historic opinion laying waste to the Commerce Clause-based powers of the federal government, especially with one vote being Clarence Thomas and another crotchety, balding Italian guy who goes home after court and sits in his underpants yelling at Fox News. Plus, the court today protected federal power based on the doctrine of federal preemption of the field by slapping Jan Brewer's law nearly to death. In other words, they refused to rebalance federalism in favor of states' rights. Bottom line, I think we might do better than anyone is bracing for on health care. Julie, but we'll see.
Yeah,
Everybody's a pundit today.
Yeah,
it's the day before the ruling, so everybody has an opinion on what's going
to happen. Well, they have to, you know, Scalia has to reverse two of his... precedents to undo the mandate. So the absurdity is right now, and this is a big right wing point to this, is that can you make a business provide a service for free? Can you force private businesses to do things for free? And that's a big problem that they have with how they view taxation, how they view, you know, you can't make me pay for the least among us. You can't force me to do that. You can't afford. Okay. Well, every time a hospital has to provide a service for somebody who's uninsured.
There you go. We
and
all
the
pay.
Rest of it have to pick up the tab.
They force us to pay.
They force us to do it. That is an intentional mandate.
Same
it
thing.
Is, yeah, exactly.
Louise in Chicago, real quick. Hey, Louise.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Long time listener, big fan.
Thank you.
I just wanted to ask you, why would Orly Tate think that she has any right to know President Barack Obama's Social Security number?
For the same reason she thinks she has a right to compel him to appear in court all over the country to defend
And maybe the
himself.
Same reason why when Mitt Romney releases a certificate of live birth as his birth certificate,
right. Yes.
Which is the exact same thing the president had released, not noticing or mentioning it.
All right, 29 minutes after the hour, we continue Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I've been familiarizing myself with female emotional crises by studying
Stephanie Miller.
When she's upset, she says, "Ack," and eats ice cream.
So true. 34 minutes after the hour. Ack!
What wine goes with ice cream?
Stephanie Miller Show. Elvira Cabernet.
Yeah. Ah, there you go.
1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number.
It's Macabernet.
Macabre.
Guys, she brings it to your Macabre-mobile. All right, it is Hump Day's the Sexy Liberal House Party.
It's true.
Too much Sexy Liberal coming through the TV now. Women all over the country going,
Help!
It's true. Yeah, they're actually
falling
handing out.
Left and right.
Help, Mommy.
Really? Was that cats in the background?
Yes.
That's great.
Did you hear that? Every age. Just...
Oh, my God. The freakiest story in the news last week.
What?
Okay, so maybe people have looked up zombie ants. I don't know if you've seen this.
Zombie
awesome.
Ants?
Yeah, yeah. There's a thing called cordyceps. It's a fungus that actually makes these ants, controls their mind, makes them crawl to the top of a plant and die so that the spores from the thing can go. Okay, they're finding that people can be controlled by the microbes that are in their gut and that you can actually be influenced by the either lack of healthy bacteria in your gut or the overponderance of bad bacteria to the point where the crazy cat lady syndrome is actually based on, they believe, a microbe that needs to go through a digestive tract to further its reproductive cycle. Mm-hmm. So it makes people like the smell of cat urine. And that's what people, it makes them bananas. Isn't that amazing? Well. And it's true. It's a totally true
thing. I'm safe because I still don't
like
the smell of cat urine.
Yeah, you're fine.
I have five cats. Yeah.
It was the creepiest thing.
I got out just in the nick of time.
You did. Yeah, right. You imagine how much a housekeeper has saved you from just being a cat urine zombie.
I apparently have a parasite that makes me want to drink wine.
Cat urine zombies.
Cat urine zombies. They're not as interesting as the naked face-chewing zombies that are apparently making progress all over the country. I mean, they're like the biggest growing demographic ever. I mean, they've gone from
all voting for Romney.
Yeah, right.
Dana and Dan, we collided getting to that one. Check me into the boards. Dana in Denver, City by the Bay. Hi, Dana.
Hi, Seth.
Hi.
I watch your show every morning.
Thank you. By the Bay.
We love you, Denver. City by the Bay.
I had a little problem yesterday with that gal you had on. That was a...
Oh, Orly Tates. My new BFF, Orly Tates.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Are you with me on this?
Yes. O-I-L-Y-T-A-I-N-T-Z. That's how you spell it.
Mm-hmm. All right, just so you know. Yes. Okay, what? Go ahead, Dana.
Your issue is?
Steph, and I've been on the phone like for 2 hours to try to get a hold of you.
Okay.
Show's only been on for a half hour.
Yeah,
that's okay.
So that was wasted time.
I appreciate it. Bill Press wasn't answering. All right.
Bill Press is like, stop calling me about 7.
I don't know who Oily Tate is.
Stop calling me.
Go ahead,
birther,
Dana.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes, she is a birther.
Well, I want you to stay, Steph, on top of her BS paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't like... here's the thing, Steph. I didn't like what she was talking about bringing him down at the convention.
Well, let me just say this first of all. She's full of Dana.
Yes,
she said they have information that they'll probably release after the Democratic convention. She is just completely full of So just remember, everything she says is complete.
By the way,
so don't worry.
Dana
okay?
sounds like a Phil Hendry character.
Yeah.
That's exactly like Phil Hendry.
Oh, yeah, she said the bombshell's coming right after the DNC.
Yeah.
And I made a note of that on my paper calendar. Didn't
sure.
I was like, oh, let me write that down. Because I just said, what have Donald Trump and Joe Arpaio's investigators found, and why won't they share it with you? Arpaio didn't answer her subpoena.
No.
And I'm on her side. I'm like, what's wrong with that douche?
Mm-hmm. He's busy sewing pink underwear or something.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, also saying he's not going to bend to Obama.
Right. He's busy blaming Obama for the Supreme Court's ruling. Decision.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, he accused President Obama of trying to make him the poster boy of his state's controversial immigration law. Oh, because he is. And maintained he's not going to bend to the federal government.
This is the guy who arrested a six-year-old.
Uh-huh. He said, I'm going to continue to enforce those state laws regardless of what the federal government is trying to pressure me to satisfy all these activists.
Okay, Johnny Reb.
I'm not going to bend to the federal government, especially when we still have state laws to enforce. And he had said, I think this is a good section that's been upheld. Show me your papers. I'd like to see where we would have the authority to arrest illegal aliens just by being here illegally and book them into our jails. Sure. But that's not going to happen.
The private jails, preferably, so they can make
that's
money.
That's practical. Yeah. I think we should put 11 million people in jail. That certainly seems like a practical solution.
You know what? Jan Brewer and Joe Arpaio are acting like petulant little children.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Arizona is a brat that didn't get its way, and so now it's
spinning on its back.
We should give it back to Mexico.
Acted like that's they had one.
You don't like it here.
You know what?
Move to Mexico.
The state was grown up under Janet Napolitano, and now it's reverted back to childhood, where it's spinning on its back and
Benjamin Button.
Yes.
That's what's happening to Arizona.
It's more like Jonathan Winters on Mark and Mindy, which I think is where the Benjamin Button storyline came from.
That's a pretty serious charge, Hal Sparks.
Aging in reverse. That's what Mark from Mark did. I'm just saying.
Nano.
Yeah, nobody pays attention. All right, fine. Never mind. Okay. But the point is, first of all, Chris and I were talking before the show. Arizona has fewer people in it than the greater L.A. area.
Uh-huh. Yes.
You know what I mean? Than New York City. Mm-hmm. New York City has a bigger population than the entire state of Arizona.
Yeah.
So Jan Brewer effectively governs fewer people than Michael Bloomberg does, and certainly less commerce. So the idea that somehow that their trendsetters are setting a standard for the entire United States is absurd on its face.
And here's what they're spinning on their back about this morning, Chris.
What?
Obama administration officials said yesterday the federal government would not become a willing partner in the state of Arizona's efforts to arrest undocumented people unless those immigrants meet federal government criteria. And they said the administration is rescinding agreements that allow some Arizona law enforcement officers to enforce federal immigration laws.
Right.
This is exactly why the president is right. There cannot be these patchwork of laws. And the Supreme Court ruled it is under federal purview.
A conservative Supreme Court.
Right.
Thank you. In a conference call with reporters, an administration official said the administration will not allow Arizona's immigration priorities to become the Department of Homeland Security's priorities.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to be keeping the homeland safe, not you know, responding to every traffic stop because someone looks brown.
Right.
You know?
Well, and at what point is it healthy or smart to allow any individual state, especially a border state, to start creating their own foreign policy?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
I mean, that's really what's going on.
They said, the official said, we have limited resources. It doesn't make sense to spend those resources in a scattershot or random fashion. Instead, they need to be focused on individuals who pose a public safety threat or challenge to the integrity of our borders. And going forth, that's how we anticipate handling our response to Arizona's law. They said law enforcement encounters, blah, blah, blah. Let's see. He said federal officials will not respond to the scene of state or local traffic stops or similar law enforcement encounters to enforce immigration laws unless the individual meets Department of Homeland Security requirements. The individual must be convicted criminal. Recent border crosser must have been removed from the U.S. previously and reentered unlawfully.
Arizona seems to think they're part of the loosely affiliated states of America.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an improv group.
Yeah.
The administration also said it's rescinding the so-called 287 agreements with the state of Arizona that allowed some local police departments to enforce federal immigration laws. And they're just losing their over this in Arizona. Yeah. The Justice Department has announced that, by the way, has set up a telephone hotline and email address for the public to report potential civil rights concerns related to the implementation of the 1070 provision. They show me your papers thing.
Yep.
So I think that's all. It's all good stuff. Is what I think. Governor Bonefinger. Yes,
I would think that the American people would think long and deep about what the federal government is doing and why aren't they abiding by the rule of law. It's just unconscionable.
It's unconscionable.
I hate unconscionables. They're the guys who
are... What if you want to think long and hard and not long and deep?
Yeah, long and deep.
What's she been watching in her hotel room?
Bless her heart.
Long and deep. Okay.
What's left of it?
Wow. I don't know. That was a Freudian slip there.
Wow. She's not ready for prime time.
Okay.
Governor. What they've said to Arizona is drop dead, Arizona. Drop dead and go away.
No, not really.
Not at
you, but
they
not
said
Arizona.
The actions that you took in your Congress to pass Senate Bill 1070
overstepped
was
the Constitution.
Unconstitutional.
Right.
Stop acting like a brat who didn't get your way.
Oh, speaking of which, it's Sheriff Toddler, Joe Arpaio. Here he is. Sheriff Joe Arpaio.
I'm going to have to try to work around this, come up with some my own ideas within the Constitution and the laws.
That's a good idea, within the Constitution and the laws.
You know, the government is now trying to cut our throats here in Arizona.
They're trying to cut they're not. Throat.
They did the yeah, Supreme a conservative sure. Supreme Court determined that what you guys did was yeah. unconstitutional.
Expect this Roberts.
Too,
bye,
thank
bye.
You.
Scalia.
By the way,
all of them thought what you were doing.
That's not cutting your throat,
Chris,
pal.
You know who else agrees with us? A lot of police officials in Arizona. Did you see this piece in the LA Times?
Better
great
things
piece.
To do, I'm thinking.
Yeah. Arizona police see immigration law as enforcement headache. Some chiefs say it could lead to numerous lawsuits and distract officers from more vital duties. Yeah. This is a story about a lot of police chiefs in Arizona. It looks like a big headache. State law enforcement officials said the decision immediately made the job of Arizona's street cops much more complicated, mm-hmm. requiring them to conduct traffic stops and other activities with a new level of public scrutiny. Critics have said the new police authority could lead to racial profiling. You think?
Car 51 calling in. Car 51. We've got a
got
naked man.
DWB
we got a naked man
around.
With an erection and a butcher knife running into a playground. Wait, one second. Never mind. There's a brown guy in a pinto. I'm pulling him over.
Brown
I got
guy
him.
In a pinto.
I got him inside. There's a brown guy. Never mind. What about the guy with the butcher? I don't know. I forgot.
Never mind.
What, the wood guy?
Never mind. With officers across Arizona forced to walk a tightrope of legal complexity, cash-strapped municipalities also worried they could soon be defending a flurry of lawsuits from, obviously, motorists, the mm-hmm. federal government, civil rights activists, distracting police from their main goal of fighting crime. We absolutely expect lawsuits on both sides of this issue, said the Tucson police chief. This will result in our officers being tied up in court rather than working on the streets to reduce crime.
The police are trying to cut my throat.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Sure, that's exactly what
because the federal government put Arizona officials on notice that Washington will not tolerate the state's enforcement of the new law in a manner that has the purpose or effect of discriminating against the Latino or any other community. It seems to me that the law is designed that way, and that's why this provision it should also be struck down, which the Supreme Court allowed for.
That's right.
Holder also expressed concern Arizona's law would discourage crime victims, such as those in domestic abuse cases, or asylum seekers from contacting police out of fear of detention or deportation. Mm-hmm. All great.
Which,
points.
By the way, they wouldn't have a problem with because they're against the Violence Against Women Act and, mm-hmm. and the inclusion of minorities, undocumented immigrants, God. And gay people in it. So to them, that's a win. That's the that's the problem with the argument against them most of the time is that they consider that a plus.
I mean, you know what's interesting is in theory, people arguing politics like this, and if you were face to face with some poor woman that had, her face beat in by... Really? Would you stand there and go, oh, good, you can't report that, because, it's...
Well, at least you didn't cut your throat.
Jan Brewer would never allow herself to be put in that kind of position.
A couple more points in this article I thought were great. In their ruling, the justices said the federal government had the ultimate authority to decide who would be held on immigration charges and possibly deported. Arizona police officers must also check with federal immigration agents before deciding to hold any suspects. LA police, our police chief, Charlie Beck, said it was bad policy to use local law enforcement to enforce immigration laws. Exactly. That's why it's under the purview of the federal government. It breaks down trust and limits cooperation in a large segment of the population we serve and overtaxes our limited resources, he said. In a news conference, Tucson police chief expressed a similar concern that the law would damage the relationship his department has worked to mold with the city's Latino community. He said his officers, on average, had cited and released thousands of people a year. Now police officers will have to verify people's immigration status before letting them go, depending on how quickly federal officials respond. Can you imagine how much this may back up phone lines and how long people are going to be held trying to determine this or that?
Yeah.
I think this is a setback for local law enforcement. The Tucson police chief said this is not what we're here to do. We're here to ensure the safety. You all involved. Good stuff, all of that.
Yeah.
So Joe Arpaio
it makes it unworkable
believe.
In practice. In theory, you can go, that's they can do this if they don't do that. But it's like anyone that lives in the real world.
The truth they have to deal with is the fact that that George Bush's court told them to go pound sand.
That's right.
And they can try and lay this at Obama's feet all they want. But and I'm sure that some of the conservatives on there did this holding their nose because, they're clearly as anti-immigrant and sociopathic about some of these things as any of the other people involved.
Yeah.
Clarence Thomas's attitude towards the healthcare law alone would make him just vehemently oppose any positive. The point is, this is not a Kennedy court that just decided, okay, we're going to, Sandra Day O'Connor just writing everything. This is not Obama building. Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan were not the ones that were the turning points in overturning Miss Roberts.
Had to recuse herself.
Yeah. Right.
All right. 48 minutes after the hour, back with more on this, including the headline, John Kyle blames Obama for failure of immigration reform under Bush.
We
continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Eek. I just spewed on my dashboard again. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 53 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Hump Days with Hal Spark. Sparks, Michael in Atlanta. Hi, Michael. You're on with Hal. Hi, Michael.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Stephanie? By the way, I love your show podcast. I love it.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Listen, I'm calling because I'm one of those, you know, interested, you know, advocates for, you know, it's good to know what the polling is saying, but the polls every week are going up and down. Does
right.
anyone have any clue of how things are going to turn
yeah,
out?
Yeah, actually, you kind of do. The big trend is this false, evening of the polls. It only helps the press in the major way as far as selling advertisement.
There's a story. And it's a close race.
Is it yeah, a close yeah. race? If they, because every time you listen to the polls, they're like, it's 45-44 for Obama, and it's really close
right.
and narrow within the margin of error. And then they go through the groups, and each group is like, he's 32% ahead with Latinos. He's 40%
yeah,
ahead
right.
with
You're
women.
Like, how does that
like,
work?
Wait.
Right.
And then the only area where that flips is non-educated whites is the biggest discrepancy, and it's 54-31%. But even that discrepancy would not even out the polls in the other areas, especially with women being 52% of the electorate ultimately
right.
if they chose to
Michael,
show up
here's
in
the,
numbers.
Here's the important one. Another set of numbers from NBC News, Wall Street Journal. 60% say President Obama inherited the current economic conditions compared with 26% who blame his policies for the state of the
economy.
Right,
which is what's left of the Republican
Hello.
Party.
You Mitt want... Romney's whole argument.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing, too, is almost all the swing states have better unemployment numbers than the national average. I mean,
yeah.
Ohio's, what, 5-1
yes,
now?
Yes, but that's the Republican governors. And Obama had nothing to do with it.
No, just
of
saving
course.
The auto industry and the tire
yeah.
companies from Chinese rubber.
Yeah.
But, yeah, then, yeah, other than that, he had
and
nothing
then,
to do with it.
Mittens, once again, not taking a position on anything, including immigration.
What we're left with is a bit of a muddle. But what we know is the president failed to lead.
Oh, I see. Yeah, a bit of a muddle referring to your positions on everything, including immigration.
A bit of a muddle in my head.
Yeah.
That's what's happening. I'm left with mud, actually, to think with. I got sand up there.
Sand! This is, this headline's precious. John Kyle blames Obama for failure of immigration reform under Bush.
Well, right.
Huh. Supreme Court's
sure.
ruling against major parts of Arizona's immigration law highlighted the GOP's bind on the issue, with Mitt Romney awkwardly equivocating, something so new for him. John Kyle sought to ease his party's trouble by devising a novel claim that President Obama was to blame for Congress's failure to pass immigration reform
right.
under President Bush. Wait now, because
wait,
Bush is
so
paid
logical.
On complete untruth, which is so rare. I note that in his response to today's Supreme Court ruling, President Obama called on Congress to pass comprehensive immigration reform. I also note that the bipartisan comprehensive immigration reform bill I helped draft in 2007 was killed in part by then-Senator Obama. What?
What?
No!
Computer says no.
In part?
The problem? Obama voted in favor of Bush's
yeah.
2007 immigration legislation, while Kyle joined the filibuster that quashed it. But other than that, everything he just said.
So that makes Senator John Kyle a liar.
A little bit. You might want to vote.
Even if he had voted against it, he couldn't single-handedly.
No. Liar, pants on.
Here are the actual fun facts. Then-Senator Obama and multiple Democrats opposed the guest worker provision. Remember that? Backed by Republicans?
Uh-huh.
But the eventual Bush-backed legislation was supported by most Democrats and a handful of Republicans.
Yep.
Fierce attacks from conservatives against any form of quote-unquote amnesty forced GOP leaders to break with their president. That's what happened with the Bush. Obama, since then, has supported various Democratic bills since he's been president to revamp the nation's immigration law. They've all died at the hands of Republicans,
everybody, including
the Dream Act in 2010. Okay.
That's so
yeah.
weird.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's done nothing. He's done nothing to force people
he's
to do
He's had three
stuff.
Years of a supermajority. He's had 3 years and done nothing. And by 3 years, he means what, the several days between
right.
when Al Franken came in and Ted Kennedy
yeah.
was
hospital.
In the hospital. Yes.
Right, yeah. And Joe Lieberman was part of that supermajority, which
yeah.
is just so
really
fantastic.
Super.
Not
he's
the
so super.
No, exactly. And you needed 60
Joe
votes.
Lieberman, too.
Yeah. So, but here's the thing. I think, honestly, we got to cop to something, and I think it's a little close to the election, but I think we got to say it honestly. I think it's another a case of the Obama time machine.
Yes.
Because he went back in time and changed his vote.
You got us.
He opposed everything that Bush wanted to do on immigration.
Just to make John Kyle look silly.
Yeah, he just went back in time right after John Kyle made those statements, just like he went back.
And unborned himself in Kenya.
Exactly. Unborned himself in Kenya and reborned himself.
Oh, you missed that. Early takes. We asked about the birth announcements in the Hawaii paper.
Yes.
And she said that, that his mother obviously did that so that he would be eligible for welfare.
Right.
Clearly he would need that, in case you haven't noticed.
It's black. It's blackish. Yeah.
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
Okay. 58 minutes after the hour. Back
way to think ahead. Yep. That woman was prescient.
Huh? Hump Days with Hal continues on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it.
Show
a little bit of a scramble, a little bit of broadcast newsy in here. Yeah. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks right there.
Yep.
Everybody.
Hiya. Hi. Which, by the way, I will be in Grand Rapids, Michigan this weekend at Dr. Grin's Thursday through Saturday. Yeah.
Dr. Grin.
Who sounds like the piano player in the Muppets band.
Yes.
But it's a great club. We'll be
very
back
cool.
there. My band played Grand Rapids over our Midwestern tour, and now I'm back doing stand-up. It's kind of awesome. And then John and I are in Santa Fe next weekend.
That's right.
Oh, awesome. John Cable Sing.
Yes.
Marcus writes, Steph, when can you bring Sexy Liberal back to Chicago? You made my mom literally pee her pants, an event I would love to duplicate.
Sexy Liberals believe
in a world where you can aspire to greater things than your parents.
The nice thing about...
And more incontinence than your parents.
Yeah.
That's our Sexy Liberal America.
You should aspire to pee your own pants.
Yeah, the nice thing about incontinence is just hang on. It'll eventually get there.
A lot of peeing reports from Sexy Liberal shows, including the big one coming up next.
In a world where everyone is going gaga for Sexy Liberal laughs, one tour is crossing the nation to bring intelligent progressive comedy to you. Nominated for 4 Pollstar Touring Awards, including Best Tour, Best New Tour, and Best Lead Comedy Performer, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is returning to Los Angeles.
On Saturday, July 28th, Stephanie Miller and her band of Sexy Liberal Players will perform live at the Pantages Theater in Hollywood, California. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com, at all Ticketmaster retail outlets, or by calling 1-800-745-3000. A portion of the proceeds from the evening's events will be donated to the Trevor Project.
Be swift and get your tickets now. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour.
Yay!
Don't miss your chance to experience liberal comedy history in the making.
Yay!
I should point out that I actually did work at a comedy club called P.O. Pans.
P.O. Pans.
That is so special.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have not worked at Chuckle Hut yet, but I can dare to dream.
Was there ever a milk through the nose, or is that just a Jay Leno joke? I don't remember.
Is there a milk through the nose? No, I've never. There, you know what? There's really odd ones. Like, there's penguins in Iowa.
Yeah.
You know,
what's
and
that
there's
about?
Three of them, and you play each one successfully each night, and then the manager drives you to the next one, unless he's too hammered, in which case the cook will drive you.
Do you have to wear a tuxedo?
Bono, my opener
living the dream.
We literally got driven by a couple of fans because the manager at the second one was too inebriated.
Oh, boy.
We're talking about Chris Bono, not Bono.
No.
Yes. By the way, super special celebrity panel.
Yes.
Surprises at LA Sexy Liberal.
Really?
Including show opening by Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Taylor.
Yes.
you know, off the hook.
More tap
the
dancing?
Show.
More tap dancing this time?
Yes.
Going to bring back that? For those that, I mean, I really, it's sad for people who aren't in the Los Angeles area who won't get to go. I mean, it's worth the pilgrimage. If you, you don't have to be in L.A. to go to the L.A. Sexy Liberal.
And the Pentagus is amazing.
Here's the thing. Because Steph doesn't have to travel as far, she's far less exhausted during the L.A. Sexy Liberal show.
Seriously,
totally.
You could.
Yeah. Stagger. But the point is, she's it's close.
Thank you.
She's within, like, a psychic range of the dogs, so she's way more comfortable.
Right.
The
right.
show is just off the
I
chain.
I may bring my couch from
yeah,
my living
if
room.
You're if you're from anywhere, I mean, worldwide.
Maybe I'll park in your driveway.
You know what? I may have everyone back to my house after. Why not?
Exactly. Right. Come to the Sexy Liberal Show yeah. after Bacchanal at Steph's house.
I don't think that's why.
No.
I don't think I should have said that. Orly
Taines will be there. She's now her new bunkmate.
Let me finish.
Oh, yeah. How hilarious to invite Orly Taines.
Oh.
She sent me a lovely thank you note. Her mama raised her right, wherever she was born or raised.
Moldova.
Although at the time it was probably Moldavia.
So yeah, that's,
and
so
you have to be nice
that'll
otherwise.
That'll be the real kind of comedy, the smart kind of comedy, not the right-wing kind of comedy like Mitt Romney's.
Oh.
Jim, Mitt Romney jokes. Would think this is hilarious. Two eighth-grade students on Canadian school trip were fooled into eating moose droppings by a chaperone. Mitt Romney.
That is funny. That's a hilarious prank.
I tricked my grandkid into eating dressage horse. Anne and I thought we would piss ourselves.
A panic.
Two eighth-grade students on a Canadian school trip were fooled into eating moose droppings by a chaperone, and the teachers and principals didn't do anything to stop it. One woman whose 13-year-old son said her son took a bite after a parent chaperone told him facetiously that it was chocolate-covered almonds.
And he got sick and died.
And then he got a bunch of parasites. Yeah, we were. Wow. Did you see the one of the Romney kids told Conan that his
dad
would. That was like he would go, oh, smell this butter. Does it smell bad? And then shove their face in it. And that was.
That is hilarious.
And then he would do that with his kids.
In all fairness.
His grandkids and whipped cream.
In all fairness, my grandfather used to have a gag where he would go, you want to hear a funny noise? And we'd say, yeah, and he'd go, put your nose in here, and he'd stick his two fingers out. No. If you stuck your nose in it, he'd squeeze it until you went, wah! And he'd go, that's a funny noise.
Oh.
And so that's a little
child abuse.
Totally child abuse. My cousin Jerome used to fall for it repeatedly.
Well, Jerome's
that's
not
I never,
too bright,
like,
is
we
he?
All did it. No. Well,
I thought it was the usual grandpa joke. I thought it was the, like, okay.
No, it wasn't
like,
a pull of fingers.
Like a scream
he
of
would
terror.
Squeeze until you made a funny noise.
Oh, that's funny.
Which was funny to everyone but you.
Yeah.
So
Romney's like, hey, blind teacher, come this way. The door's open. Not a fan of the prank humor so much.
Nah.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Lee in Fort Lauderdale. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Lee.
Hi. You have an awesome show.
Thank you.
Hey, I hate to, with so much going on in the world, I hate to waste my airtime with such a beautiful woman. With the likes of Orly Taines, I do have a comment on her appearance
today. Oh, yes,
yesterday.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. First of all, I thought you guys showed amazing restraint. But I know you're probably intentionally giving her enough rope to hang herself. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Which she successfully did. But I was still nevertheless irritated at listening to her spouting that venom. Mm-hmm. And I just wish you guys had more time to just take her apart piece by piece.
We might ask her back.
You know, Lee, I was saying that she's been so thoroughly debunked everywhere that, you know, we're a comedy show here. It was exactly what you said. It was just to give her enough rope to... And that she's actually a very nice person. She's just completely, you know...
Crazy.
Yeah, she's not a very nice person. A little bit.
She's not a very nice person.
With fake pearls.
I determined that right away.
Yeah. She has enough...
Her facts were... Fake as her pearls.
She has enough social skill to crowbar her banana thoughts into rooms of relatively educated, you know, put together people, and that's how she's managed to get into court.
I have never been called put together. That is awesome.
I wasn't referring to you.
Okay.
I was talking about court situations.
Oh,
she still loses in those situations, but that she's charming enough to actually get stuff like that off the ground.
And her MO is to come in and just throw everything at the wall in a rapid-fire manner.
Where are my documents? Does Rebecca have them?
Rebecca has them.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah. And so that's her M.O. And
documents.
She kind
again,
of...
Again, that's a big word for weird photocopies of stuff that is... Like, I'm seriously, how much, like, mini scribble does she have to have on, like, thousands of people? I mean, seriously, the wall of her apartment
like
must
Mel
look
Gibson
like she's
in
a
that
serial
movie.
Killer. Like, conspiracy theory, yeah. Right. It's all just pictures of Julia Roberts on a horse.
Oh, by the way, speaking of crazy people, did you notice Justice Scalia? He cited pro-slavery laws excluding free blacks to justify his anti-immigrant opinion. The oddest part, I missed this, the oddest part of Scalia's dissent, the fact he actually relied on pro-slavery laws excluding free persons of African descent from much of the South to justify allowing Arizona to target undocumented immigrants.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Looking
well,
to
what if we get slavery back?
Looking to slaveholding states for guidance is beyond the pale, even for Scalia. You gotta give it to him. He really is becoming thoroughly unhinged.
Yes. He wants to be part of the judiciary of the new Confederacy.
Yeah. I bet you he would agree to hear an Early Tate's case. He'd be like, let her finish.
I would pay cash money to see Early Tate argue anything before the Supreme Court.
Well, the other thing is,
God.
If he loses health care, Scalia, I'm telling you, he's going to lose his.
She'll be over at his house. They'll both be in their underwear screaming at Fox News. they probably do already. I have no evidence to this. I have some documents. Wait, let me finish. I have some documents that I've scotch taped together like a hostage note that say that Anthony Scalia
Dwayne
and
New Oily Jersey.
Canes hang out together.
Hello,
and watch.
Dwayne.
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on, Stephanie?
Not much. Go ahead.
Hey, my question was with the health care coming up in the Supreme Court, how come Justice Thomas is not recusing himself from this? Nobody's never even said anything about this. And
his wife is an anti-healthcare activist.
Yeah.
Right.
He attends the events.
Yeah, didn't she donate money to this cause and all that?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But Clarence Thomas' whole, contribution to the Supreme Court is what he says.
Yeah, what Scalia said, mm-hmm. whatever he said.
But that's the problem. It's a vote, regardless of the fact that he doesn't really write opinions.
Right.
It's still a vote for that particular side. And if he recuses himself, it does shift the balance.
By the way, all the people that were saying that Clarence Thomas was clearly the most qualified person in the country for this job, really? Well, he's never written one opinion or said one word
on
the Supreme Court in how many years?
But he's not supposed to. Yeah. He's a rubber stamp. He was put there to be a rubber stamp. Mm-hmm. And, this is a history on the GOP side of especially when they have, like, minority people in their cabinet and that they put forward, of just giving them rubber stamp orders, not really allowing them. I mean, all George Bush ever did was ignore Condi Rice at all the wrong moments. You know what I mean? And then the rest of the time, she and
there you Cole covered your ass.
Yeah, we're just basically like say what I tell you to say and keep your opinions to yourself.
Yep.
It's horrible.
Yep. 17 minutes after the hour. Now she has thoughts on Obama's foreign policy failures.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy.
Really?
Fascinating. 17 minutes after the hour. Back with more Hump Days with Hal on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller
You're playing
show.
A flute.
Flute. That was a saxophone.
No, that's not how you play a saxophone
23
either.
23 minutes after.
Oh, my God.
Did she just...
It's only an air instrument anyway.
Yeah. You almost did an alto saxophone. That could have pulled off as a... But it's not even ballpark. She had it sideways.
This is saxophone.
Whatever, band boys.
Maybe you just...
1-800-STEP-12.
Maybe she was just eating a chick of sticks.
You're criticizing the way I play air instruments.
But you were playing a flute. That was nowhere near a flute.
Yeah.
Okay, where do I have my fingers for a saxophone?
Like this.
Yeah. Oh, well, sorry. 1-800-STEP-12.
You're the kind of person that made fun of people in the band, aren't you?
No. We didn't have a band. I went to a little sad sack Catholic school. We didn't have enough money for a band.
Okay.
I played saxophone in high school and middle school. almost entirely to learn that solo and a couple others. We never, Eddie Izzard has famously done a bit about this, what happens when you play alto saxophone in school. It's absolutely true. You get all the half notes and the boring stuff. I thought, like, we played the Raiders of the Lost Ark theme, and I was so excited about that because, you know, bum, ba, da, ba, you know what my note was? Hey.
The same sound you made when your grandfather grabbed your nose.
Yeah, exactly. And all the trumpets are bah, 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 bah. I'm like, oh, I hate you guys.
All right. Wow, Jolton Joe Biden taking it to Mitt Romney on the campaign.
You
got to
give Mitt Romney credit. He's a job creator in Singapore, China, India.
He stole that from me.
Bam!
I'm the you radio Neil Kinnock.
We will let him have it because it's a good line.
It is. Yes.
Yes. He said this good man, Mitt Romney, has looked at American workers, looked at all of you, looked at the places I come from, has looked at us as part of the problem. The president and I don't see American workers as part of the problem. We see them as the heart of the solution. Thank you, sir. He also brought up Romney's Swiss bank account. Bam! Saying it shows up Romney is out of touch. D'you think? By the way, Hal, did you see this?
Mm-hmm.
The Obama camp obviously talking about the Washington Post report that linked Bain Capital to companies who ship jobs overseas. The Washington Post politics fact checker had previously taken a dim view of such allegations, printing them completely false. I think like the
really?
Day before. And then they ran a story about how, the president,
Mm-hmm.
I love this. The Romney camp hit back saying Biden had doubled down on the Obama campaign's same misleading attacks. No. Not misleading.
not at all.
Entirely accurate.
Thank you for correcting that, Washington Post. Thank you. Yeah.
No, exactly what he did for a living. That's exactly that was his key thing. Again, don't when you need a doctor, don't call a coroner.
Exactly.
Don't call an organ harvester when you want to keep your kidneys and get them working again.
The mainstream media and or, you know, some of these corporate Democrats like Cory Booker, it's like, "Oh no, that's rude. That's bad form."
Negative.
You can't. Oh, well, it's absolutely true. All right, never mind. Carry on.
Yeah, and there is, they've been pointing out very much that it was stuff he did, and this is amazing, that the Obama administration has not even been necessarily attacking Bain specifically, but the fact that he outsourced jobs when he was governor of Massachusetts.
Right.
Yeah.
He took state jobs and moved them overseas. That's how he governs. That's you could argue in the free market libertarian fantasy that, well, hey, you're running a business and you got to compete. Some of your stuff you're going to have to move to India. And you could, even though I think that's awful, you could argue that because it's your business and it literally is your business.
Right.
But as governor, to do that to state jobs.
To your own workers.
Yeah. Right. No wonder you're 47th out of 50.
Here's what Romney's camp has in reply. More heckling and honking. One of Mitt Romney's campaign buses again circled a Boston fundraiser for President Obama Monday, honking its horn. It's the second time the Romney camp has used one of its buses to heckle.
Yeah.
Obama.
Can they get a restraining order to keep them from doing that?
I guess technically you could if you considered it harassment. Mm-hmm. I mean, a business could do it, so there's no reason why a campaign couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing him as president, just sending our ships to.
Although I don't know.
Honk at the Iranians.
That's the Romney foreign campaign. I'll tell you what we're gonna do, friends. To Iran. We're gonna drive our van down there to Iran. We're gonna drive around.
I'm gonna hold his head down and cut his hair.
I'm gonna hold him down and shove his face in some butter.
I'm going
to honk my horn. Cut his hair.
Dana in Maryland.
Like the Bible tells me not to.
You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dana.
Hi, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning, Hal. Good to see you.
Hi.
Kind of off the subject, I wanted to send love and thoughts to the families of the young ladies in Texas who were shot in the head.
Hi.
That was horrifying.
For loving each other. Yeah. How dare them. And I just, absolutely frightening. And one of them is still alive, thank goodness. And we're hoping she can name her attacker, maybe give the police some information. And I just think it's horrifying that this is continuing to go on. And my political point is, he's really after your guns, people. I mean, whoever shot them used a large caliber handgun. And I'm sure they had a permit for it. You can get a gun anywhere.
Yeah.
Not after your guns. And if you ask me, I love him. I will vote for him. I will continue to support him. But I don't think he's done enough.
on gun control?
Gun control.
You're hoping that Daryl Issa's conspiracy theory is correct, that he's planning to take all our guns away?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is tragic, and just sending love to the state of Texas
and to
the families.
Yeah, absolutely. Dana, thank you. You know, we were joking earlier, we'll talk about it after the break, about, you know, this stupid story about they did a gay pride Oreo.
Yeah.
And the right wing is, like, you know, losing it. They didn't even make the cookie.
It's a picture.
Right.
Yeah, it's a picture.
It's a picture, people.
Oreos are sacred.
But that's the kind of attitude.
Especially when they're fried.
Yeah. Okay, 29 minutes after the hour. Right back with that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Wow, so hip and sexy.
You are not me.
The Michael Stipe dance.
I'm flipping my arms around.
Boys' Day in the fort on Wednesdays.
No, I'm fairly certain that Michael Stipe's, all of his dances are based on trying to, he just walked through a spider web.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So let me get this straight. My air saxophone was ridiculous, and that was not ridiculous looking?
Well, of course it's ridiculous looking, but I'm making a point that Michael Stipe's dancing is ridiculous, and I'm doing a relatively perfect impersonation, a comedic interpretive dance,
and it was brilliant.
Yes, you're right.
You've never seen the video?
No.
Of course not.
She doesn't know what we're talking about.
She apparently has never seen a saxophone either.
I thought you were having a simultaneous seizure.
Yes.
I was going to put something on your tongue.
By the way, a trombone does not have a flush handle
on it. Tongue.
I think we should... What?
What?
Mm-hmm. What?
I don't know what I meant. Yes, I did. Okay. All right. The president, so the big health care ruling, obviously, coming down tomorrow.
We don't need to refight this battle over health care. It's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hell, here's the story that makes us all happy.
It's the right thing to have done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That's about accomplishments.
Been there, done that.
Yeah.
The progressive activists who put the public option at the heart of health care reform debate in 2009 and 10, including Jackie Schechner, news goddess, will return in 2012 to press Democrats to back a single-payer system if the Supreme Court strikes this down tomorrow. If the health care law fails, they believe it will open up a whole new set of political and substantive opportunities for liberals. Adam Green, who is the co-founder of the Progressive Change Campaign, said Medicare for All was the right solution in 2009. Mm-hmm. It's the right solution now. It's the ultimate destiny at which our nation will arrive. The only question is whether Democratic leaders are strategic enough to start the process of marching through that door as it opens. If the Supreme Court is so political that it overturns affordable care despite clear legal precedent, that illegitimate ruling would call for outrage, but it will also blow the door open to Medicare for All.
Yep.
The march to Medicare for All would be a marathon, not a sprint, but an absurd ruling this Thursday would be an opportunity for Democrats to start marching. If the Supreme Court opens the door for Democrats to campaign in 2012 on Medicare for All, and Republicans are left campaigning on Paul Ryan's plan to end Medicare, the clean contrast could be a game changer that gives Democrats a clean sweep in November.
Wow, no. Scott Eagle said all that? Oh, no, that's Seth Green. Yeah.
No.
It hurts, Daddy, when you say things like that.
Then he said of the president, we would certainly encourage him to say, okay, the court didn't like the way this law was drawn up. Okay, let's go back to square one. Let's do a law that has no constitutional problem, Medicare. And they could probably do this with one page.
Yep.
One page, not all the scary pages. The Republicans
Medicare
are all scared.
Medicare minus the age requirement. There you go. Done.
Yeah.
Mittens on health care.
Instead of focusing on immigration and, of course, on the big issue, which was the economy and getting the economy going, he instead focused on putting in place his health care reform called Obamacare.
Yes, that was based
on
Medicare. Yes.
And by the way, you call it Obamacare. He didn't call it that.
Right.
It's not its name. It's the Affordable Care Act.
Yep.
And the thing that's up for debate.
Obama's taking ownership of it, though.
Yeah,
just like we've taken control of the word liberal.
Right.
We're like, he said, yes, I do care. Fine, call it Obamacare.
If Obamacare is not deemed constitutional, then the first 3.5 years of this president's term will have been wasted on something that has not helped the American people.
Except it has.
Except that he also...
Millions of people, actually.
Turned around the auto industry, the... United States economy, made more progress on gay rights than all of presidents combined before him. Just a bunch of...
Mitch Perpetual running for president will have been a waste of time.
Right.
Yes.
Oops.
Did you hear?
If it is deemed to stand, then I'll tell you one thing. We're going to have a president, and I'm that one that's going to get rid of Obamacare. We're going to stop it on day one.
And replace it with Romney
Care.
With nothing.
What?
Just remove all the provisions.
Right.
no solution, no
just
nothing.
Wild yeah. West.
How am I supposed to take?
Wagons.
How am I supposed to replace it when I can't take a stand on anything? I mean, you can't really. I mean, I'm just going to take things away. That's what I'm going to do.
Carol in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Steph. How are you?
Good.
I'll meet you next week, but enjoy.
Oh, thank you, honey. Very thank you. Oh, John Fugelsang will be here.
I have a question, yes. A comment, and a question. First of all, I think Daryl Issa has become the new Tom DeLay with plenty of skeletons in his own closet.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Holder should
theft?
Ask him if he's had been ever been arrested. If so, and how many times?
Yep. Mm-hmm. We refer to him as Joe. We refer to him as Joe McCarthy on our show.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then where has the scandal that the crybaby hypocrite Boehner, where is the sex scandal? What a sex scandal. Where has that gone? Mm-hmm. You know, he's another Larry Flint. Where is Larry Flint? That's what I want to say. Where is Larry Flint and all these
useful.
Investigations? Ensign and Sanford and Vitter, they all joined Boehner in all this sex scandal. And do you know what the GOP stands for?
Mm.
Good old pricks.
Oh, my goodness, now. Did you get that?
I'm not entirely sure you could say that.
No, you can't
that on
say
the
that.
Well,
all right.
The verb is okay.
Yeah.
But. Did you get that current?
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
Yes.
You can put your finger,
but you can't.
Well, I was explaining how I have allergies, so I had a prick test.
The camera.
Uh-huh.
Was it positive?
No.
Most
definitely
not.
I was not referring to the Republican primary this year. I'm referring to the...
Amazing how we dove for the button on her one statement, and yet the conversation has flowed.
Anyone knows what I'm talking about. You go to the doctor, and they prick you a bunch of times on the back, and they...
With different allergens,
and then you react... You can either, you're A through, what is it, D, and then 1 through 4. So if you're 4D for something, that means you're the most allergic.
To that prick.
Yeah, to that particular prick.
That particular prick.
Or all pricks.
Were you allergic to all? Moving on.
Ike in Charleston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I was asking a legit
Welcome,
medical
Ike.
Question,
yes.
Chris. Pay attention.
Hi, Ike.
God.
Hey, guys. Yeah, listen, you know, for all of the talking heads and everybody that wants to debate the immigration problem we have in this country, I'll just point this out to you. As a person that lives in the bottom end of the economy, that's worked construction most all of his life,
yes,
I've seen the damage done to the wage structure. And the way that the employers have been able to use this particular labor force to force down wages and have abused the workers. And as a matter of fact, right now, I have 100 hours worth of labor that I can't get paid for because these people seem to think they're above the law and can do anything they want to anybody they want. And they've gotten that attitude because our government and because the people that the powers that be, the greedy people out there, they've just decided the hell with the country, the hell with the laws, and I don't care what I got to do, but I'm going to get rich off the back of somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's I mean, and I think Joe Biden summed it up brilliantly yesterday what Mitt Romney's life has been all about,
right?
Thus far,
yep.
And it's not, nobody's disputing his success at making money for Bain and himself. But at any rate, pop quiz for you, Hal Sparks.
Sure, pop quiz, hot shot.
Pop quiz.
That's from Speed, the movie.
Guess what, Hal?
Dennis Hopper said.
Guess what, prick test I tested 4D for.
You tested
which
4D
allergen for? I tested 4D for. That's the most allergic.
Oh, gosh.
Bringing this back to something you said earlier.
Cat.
Yes! Cat hair!
No, cat
yes!
hair, yeah.
Which means... See, that I would have been one of the people. What were you talking about earlier?
No, yeah.
Something
was,
about...
controlled by the microbes.
Yeah.
The crazy cat lady disease.
Yeah.
Which is actually a mental disorder where you're literally driven by the microbes in your gut to behave differently.
To
it's
like
a
the smell of cat urine.
Fact.
Okay.
That you can... That prick what? Alone could have
you
turned
hear,
you into a zombie.
Do you want to hear the cat lady die?
One.
Kitties, here Twilight, here Boxcar, Teddy, where's Mommy's little shoe face? Come, Popcorn, that's right, Frisky time, Frisky, help Mommy.
Okay.
We have a cat named Teddy.
That was the woman, the cat lady that won the lottery?
Yeah.
She built a separate house for all. She how many cats? Something like 80 something.
Yeah, something.
And she died because she was allergic to
cats. Yes. Yeah.
She obviously didn't have the prick test. Mm. She could have had. She should have.
Right.
Okay, Jason.
Maybe
in,
your doctor was. Well, never.
Jason in San Antonio. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. Go ahead.
I just want to tell you I love you. If I wasn't married, I'd propose to you, girl.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm. Oh, real quick, what I wanted to say.
Danger.
Mm-hmm. Real quick, what I wanted to say is I'm new to the show, and I'm listening, and I understand that the GOP doesn't really understand what's really going on in the world right now, and I just don't understand what do we need to do as this ordinary Americans to combat this. I mean, it's silly to me some of the things that they want and some of the things that they want us to do.
Well, all you can do is, you know, talk one heart and mind at a time. You know, talk to one person at a time wherever it is you live, right?
Yeah, I tried that. Actually, with the 08 election, I actually knocked on doors and made phone calls. But with this election, I don't have as much time as I would normally have. So I just, I'm just trying to get a phone list. I'm trying to do everything I can to make sure that the right person stays in office.
Well, that's awesome. That's all you can do.
You can certainly volunteer. That, you know, if you look at, here's a good example of the Obama ground game versus the Romney ground game. In Ohio, you have, like I said, a 5.1% unemployment, largely due to the president protecting tire workers in Ohio from Chinese rubber and Chinese tires being dumped on the market and the auto bailout. But they have 36 offices in, you know, the Obama offices in Ohio. Yeah. They only have 18 Romney ones, and most of those are just shared spaces with the RNC there. They have 6 mobile stations.
And you know what else helps is that new poll, Romney's a rich douche that no one likes in Ohio.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
President Obama had
47% agree.
44% in Ohio. Obama's approval rating in the state is underwater at 44%. But only 35% of Ohioans have a favorable view of Romney, 54% unfavorable, 20% of Republicans dislike Romney as well. So,
go figure.
Yeah, that's that particular poll. Okay, 45 minutes after the hour, we continue with the rollicking Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
May cause dizziness, sexual nightmares, and sleep crime.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. The other one is flipping off Dave Coulier.
What? Yeah.
What?
No. Hey.
No,
it is
let's make a rumor.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2. The phone number. Dave in Orange County. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Earlier, I heard you say, I have to have a couple things on my brain, but I heard you say that the GOP basically just pays lip service to minorities and that they don't listen to their points of view and their cabinets, et cetera, et cetera. So, I find it
I don't believe I said that, but
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Oh, Hal did. I'm sorry. Hal did.
Yeah.
Okay. So, something similar to that. But it's amazing to me because when Republicans reach
well,
out
wait,
to
Dave,
minorities.
Let me ask you something. Hang on. Let me ask you something. Okay. Why do you think minorities and huge majorities are not for Republicans then?
I have no idea, to be honest with you, because I'm a Latino. I'm a small business owner. Okay. Uh-huh. I'm one of those evil rich guys that employs 250 people. Okay.
Okay.
You mean the ones that, like, Obama's cut your taxes 18 times in the last 3 years?
Really? My taxes have been cut?
Yes,
really?
They have. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
if you have 250 employees. If you have 250 employees.
The amount of money that I'm getting in that is not, it doesn't make up for my cost and health. You know, my health care cost is going up 35%.
And Obama's working on lowering that for you.
Right.
Dave, my question is, the thing you just brought up about minorities, all I want to know is, if Hal is wrong, that it's because the Republican Party does not address their concerns, why are they in huge majorities not for the Republican Party?
Well,
are they stupid?
Okay, well, twice you guys have cut me off and I tried to make a point.
Okay.
My point is, when they do reach out to minorities, you say that they don't care when they don't try. But when they do try, it's just lip service. It's like, you can't win. You can't
and obviously people recognize that, and that's why in huge majorities they are not for Republicans, because they recognize when they're just, it's just lip service
shined.
And they're not behind any actual policies that are helping them.
Okay, well, let me explain this to me. Since neither one of you own a small business?
This is a small business.
Yeah. The Stephanie Miller Show is a small business.
I own a small business.
Okay.
I own this business.
Okay, you do. So,
yes.
As you probably know, businesses are run through goods and services. And like here, the president said, well, just go out and hire people. I'll give you a tax cut. Well, if I don't have the services coming in, or the demand coming in for my services,
right.
How am I going to hire people?
Good point.
It shows that he doesn't understand how business works.
Well,
I'll give you a tax deduction to hire somebody, but if I don't have the capital or the means to hire the person, what is the tax cut?
Well, that wasn't. That's not the entire strategy. That's one part of it.
Right.
Protecting American interests, like the example I made earlier about Chinese tires being dumped on the market, protecting that organization so that those plants in the United States weren't competing unfairly. That's not just hire somebody and fill in. That's an exact.
Well, look, I'm not saying I disagree with everything Obama's doing, but
yes, you are.
I'm not saying that I disagree with everything he's doing, but his attack on business people like myself.
What's the attack?
What are you framing as an attack?
By saying that I don't pay enough taxes. I pay almost half of my income in taxes. How much more does he want? Half's not enough.
How do you pay half?
You pay half your income in taxes.
Well, then you have a crappy accountant.
I pay 43% in taxes. I pay myself a salary. Okay.
Right. And from that salary,
you pay
43%
when the top tax rate is 30.
Yeah.
But between all of it, my social,
you're counting state?
43%.
Right.
Yeah, 43%, all of it.
Okay, so first of all, Obama does not control. First of all, hold on. Obama does not control your state taxes.
Right.
So if you have an issue with your governor, that's a totally different aspect. So if you want to talk about let's talk about what party controls. If you're going to talk about his actual policies and how they affect you on a tax level, then you have to address the part he controls. And he has lowered that tax bracket for you. And by the way, it was lower under Clinton as well.
All right. What is that about? Right wingers that always go, you don't understand about.
You don't own a small business.
This? I remember, somebody said that. This is many years ago, but Ed Schultz and I were on the same show. And who was it? Some right winger said, you people don't know. You don't own business. We're both like, excuse me? Okay. All right. Let's dive in.
But you don't sell widgets, so it's not a small business.
I sell fart jokes, and that is a living, my friend.
That is a good and a service.
Thank you.
It was still unclear, though.
God bless America. This is a great country where you can sell hot air.
Right.
Which is what I'm selling here.
Right. But he had 250 employees. That guy has a business with 250 employees. And he pays 43% in taxes. From the salary he gives himself out of whatever business that is, he must make an extraordinary amount of money.
You would think.
If you have a business that has 250 employees, you're pulling a salary from that. By the way,
No one has ever said guys are evil.
If you can make a lot of money, God bless you.
God bless America.
Rob Reiner makes a lot of money. He makes movies that we love.
I just kind of call BS on it. Yeah, I call exactly. I would have liked to hear more of his facts because I think they would have fallen apart.
All right, here's the good. No, I've had enough. Thank you.
Understood.
Okay, here's the good news about the Supreme Court ruling. Did the Supreme Court end GOP hopes of blocking Obama's immigration move? Probably. Republicans have threatened to sue to block President Obama's administrative decision not to deport young illegal immigrants. Even Boehner, the House Speaker, questioned whether the move is constitutional. But the Supreme Court decision Monday in the Arizona case suggests Republicans may have a difficult time prevailing in court. Yay! The decision to strike down major pieces of Arizona's immigration law emphasized the broad discretion, quote-unquote, of the federal government has in choosing which migrants to target. A principal feature of the removal system is the broad discretion exercised by immigration officials, wrote Anthony Kennedy. Federal officials, as an initial matter, must decide whether it makes sense to pursue removal at all. We talked about this a little bit earlier, but I think this is good news. Discretion in the enforcement of immigration law embraces immediate human concerns. That's what we were talking about. These are human beings. People like to talk about it in these sort of
abstract
terms.
That's why the word illegal immigrant is a robotizing word. It makes you inhuman.
Right. Thank you. Unauthorized workers trying to support their families, for example, likely pose less danger than alien smugglers or aliens who commit a serious crime. The equities of an individual case may turn on many factors, including whether the alien has children born in the U.S., long ties to the community, or a record of military service.
Or if the alien is ALF.
That's right.
A cat eating alien.
Thank you, Jim. Yes. Thank you.
Hey, Willie.
He should be deported immediately.
Yeah.
And for some reason, Joe Lieberman played his film.
Got a green card.
One legal analyst said the Kennedy's opinion suggests the Supreme Court believes Obama acted within his power. This is the court saying that what the president has announced and has been doing is okay. Scalia.
Douche.
Sorry. It's basically a signal from the court on how it would rule on such a thing. Another Democratic aide said Obama's move is the notion Obama's move is unconstitutional is being completely undercut by the Supreme Court's decision on SB 1070 yesterday. Add this to the list of huevos rancheros on your face moments for the GOP. John Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
Many of whose statements are not intended to be factual.
Right.
Said if the president opts to simply not enforce the law, the primary remedy for that's political. But he added if it's bad enough and if shenanigans are involved in it,
shenanigans?
Then of course impeachment is always a possibility.
Of course, for shenanigans.
Okay.
And hijinks.
Yeah, because that's in the Constitution. You can impeach the president
for hijinks, hijinks and shenanigans.
For something completely constitutional, but that has shenanigans, certain legal. Unknown shenanigans.
Mumbo jumbo.
For the record.
Voodoo.
I have been to Washington. I've been to the Capitol building while Congress and the Senate have been in session. And I'm not going to, I can't fully say that they were coming exactly from John Kyle's office, but I think I heard slide whistles and that flappity foot sound that Fred Flintstone makes. Yeah. Inside John Kyle's.
This president is hereby impeached for tomfoolery.
And they called
everybody
it,
back in the clown car.
And then somebody stuck their head out. I think it was a long-eared dog character with big eyes and said, "We're drafting legislation."
58 minutes after
that's
the hour.
That's the definition of hijinks.
Sean Hannity in Right Wing World next, and he mentions
he makes
Stephanie
pass
Miller.
Oh, he wants to date me and kiss me. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. I love our little sexy liberal family. Rachel Maddow's daddy called and said he suspects that early Tate gets financial help, maybe from Trump. All right, we'll ask her next time.
Yeah.
If she has any benefactors.
She gets huge financial help.
I think they have the same hairstylist.
Yeah.
I will say that.
Well, Tate sent me a lovely thank you
that
note.
That was nice.
For yesterday's show. Where is it? I haven't printed it out yet. Hang on, let me see if I...
It's right here. Let me finish.
Orly Tate, thank you. Wasn't that sweet of her?
Yes.
Dear Stephanie, thank you for inviting me. I'll have to do it in her voice. Dear Stephanie, thank you for inviting me to your show, giving me opportunity to provide my side story. Thank you for being tolerant to conservative like me. I believe the interview was successful and will greatly increase range of your audience. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's number one with a bullet.
That's why we had you on.
Yes. The clip you posted was published and written about in multiple publications.
Yep. We'll be hearing
ranging from Huffington Post to CBS to NASDAQ.com. I don't know.
She goes to NASDAQ.com.
And then she's going on to start pitching me other
guests.
Other crazy right friends. Okay. That's like, no. You're special, Orly. Yeah. You are special in my heart. Mm-hmm. Only you. Mm-hmm. You can come back.
You're no Sean Hannity.
The rest of your friends.
Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity mentioned me in Right Wing World. He wants to date me and kiss me.
Yeah, good luck with that.
We're friends. It's weird.
If you ever had a little rascal's fetish, I guess this is the time to act on it.
Fine, let's dive into
put
the right wing world.
Put him in an oversized sweater.
You know what? Don't you?
With holes
in the elbow.
You're
crushing her love.
All right.
Don't you? Exactly.
How these eggs are saying
don't
hello to my stomach.
Don't you rain on my love
right
parade with Sean Hannity. Don't you take something beautiful and make it dirty, Hal Sparks.
Oh, it's already dirty.
All I do. It's my living. You make fart jokes, and I take beautiful things.
Somebody was at my house the other day,
dirty.
And there's that picture on Talkers, cover of Talkers, and me, and they're like, "Oh, was that Photoshop?" I'm like, "No,
no, you actually hugged."
Okay. Sean Hannity on his radio show.
Poor Stephanie Miller. I'm not sure how many radio stations she's heard on, but I like Stephanie Miller. I can't help it. I mean, every time I talk to her. I like her. We actually have exchanged gifts with each other. She sent me a really cool portrait of Ronald Reagan once because she knew I was a big Ronald Reagan fan. And I sent her a Vermont teddy bear. I forget how I dressed up the teddy bear, but I sent her a Vermont teddy bear, and she accused me of not paying for it, which was not true. I did pay for it. One of the heads over at Media Matters is on Stephanie Miller's program, so now they have a radio outlet that they've co-opted.
Mm-hmm.
They've got NBC and a whole cable channel they write the programming for and the scripts for, and now they do the same thing with Stephanie Miller on a radio program.
Oh. Okay, so you're just an arm of Media Matters.
I'm so easily manipulated. Oh, I have been co-opted. Take me, Media Matters.
In all fairness.
You did not pay for that Vermont teddy bear.
Yeah.
They're a sponsor. What do you think? I was born yesterday?
Yeah, Stephanie doesn't pay for Vermont teddy bears. She knows how it works.
You think I fell off the radio turnip truck yesterday, Sean Hannity?
Yeah,
here's some pro flowers. Oh, please.
I did type Stephanie in the
box.
By
the way, do you have carbonite yet? Oh, stop it, Sean.
I give.
I re-gift. Right. For the record, he does love Ronald Reagan. Just nothing that Ronald Reagan did, apparently.
Like raising taxes.
If Reagan was running now, he wouldn't.
No.
He would have had him drummed out of the party.
He was very sweet, though. In return, he offered to buy me a picture of Karl Marx.
Oh, that's
hilarious.
That's so hilarious.
Relevant.
Okay, well, but wait, there's more. You know why? Because he just can't wait to knock more books out of my hands.
Before Stephanie's following the liberal talking point, Stephanie, we have $5 trillion in debt. How about you address this on your program the next time you have Media Matters on? Mm-hmm. A president that said he would cut the deficit in half in his first 4 years in office.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How does he give us $5 trillion plus in new Obama debt? And I know you're going to say
because
it's Bush's
government.
Fault.
Uh-huh.
Bush gave us these deficits. He's the one that promised he'd cut the deficit in half in 4 years. He's the one that said, if I don't get this done in 3 years, this is a one-term proposition.
Oh, my God.
He's the guy that said he'd go line by line in that budget, Steph.
Yep.
He's the guy that said he'd eliminate earmarks. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that said he'd be transparent, and now executive privilege is being used.
Oh,
and
boy.
Sorry about that.
Mm. I just feel like Sean Hannity and I are just alone talking. It's better than having him on. We're just alone here in our little love cocoon.
I love how he conflates all kinds of different parts of stuff together as if it's all the same issue.
It's just like shrapnel, and he wants me to answer every point.
Yeah.
Did he do his whole show to me yesterday?
I think
pretty much.
I mean, that's pretty much his show anyways. I think he just...
I love you, Sean.
I don't want to upset you, but I think he just kind of puts... liberal number 7 into that little, like...
I was just yesterday.
Yeah, it's like color forms.
You're cheating on me? Overplay. I mean, he's cheating on me with other liberals?
Yeah,
is that what you're
whomever
saying?
Is just kind of in his crosshairs or whatever.
You bastard, Sean Hannity. You better not be yelling out other liberal girls' names, because I will...
I love how he goes to that whole conversation without mentioning the debt accrued by the Iraq and Afghanistan
by putting the wars on the books.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna review that.
Never bringing it up. Never having the guts. Sean Hannity does not have the guts to bring up the cost.
Since he dedicated his whole show to me
blood
yesterday,
and treasure
I'm gonna,
of the Iraq and Afghanistan
yeah,
wars.
I'm gonna finish every sentence today with Sean.
Yeah.
Okay, so as Hal Sparks just said, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
The debt is almost entirely because he put the Iraq and Afghanistan wars on the books.
They were free. They were free wars.
And the Bush tax cuts for the top 1%.
So?
Ask any nonpartisan economist.
And the Bush economics that caused the economic downturn so that all the recovery.
Of the American people agree with me.
The bailout, which, by the way, was all started under Bush. Was put, and Obama said, let's put this on the books. Mm-hmm. This is in our budget because we're adults, and this is what you do when you spend money is you don't pretend you didn't.
Hal, I don't mean to ignore you while you're here. Sean. Talking to you now.
Yes.
Why is it that 60% of the American people agree with me, according to a new poll today, a new Wall Street Journal poll today?
Because they're the ones who actually...
60% agree that the president inherited this economy from Bush.
Yeah. And they are the 60% who have a more than one news source.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And things have been getting steadily better.
All right.
Yeah.
Slowly. Not.
I wonder if Rush will be feeling competitive today and mention me again on his show. Can I say that I'm just so thrilled with all this right-wing attention, being the attention whore that I am?
Stephanie Miller, who is a babe on some days, she knows what I mean.
No, I don't.
Not really.
No. Okay, Rush Limbaugh.
You mean yesterday, Mitt Romney blew it. The response to all the immigration rulings of the Supreme Court, the Obama administration reaction to it, yesterday was a red flag for the Romney team. Yesterday, the Romney team was not ready for prime time on this illegal immigration, the Arizona decision.
Oh, my God. I want to date both of them now. I want to see if you're pleased with me that Romney is really lame. I may have a three-way with Rush Limbaugh.
Ew.
Oh, God. No.
Wow.
No.
hard.
There has to be some sort of allergy triggered by
it. I am sorry. Now, that is a prick test. I have a lot of allergy tests, and that right there. Okay.
I'm alert. Yeah.
Jim, it's for you. Gary and Ellen. Right, look, I love when I get snail mail. Look, Dunlap Garage.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
In Nebraska.
Yes. Steph, we're glad to find you on the TV as antenna radio is spotty here in northwest Nebraska. Mostly Limbaugh and livestock market reports.
Well, that's kind of the same thing, isn't it? Wow.
Hey! Jim Louise. Funny thing, Jim Ward does such a good Limbaugh, I impulsively want to kick his ass. Sorry.
Wow.
Good thing you're in Nebraska.
Okay, then.
Okay. Jim's ass? Don't do that.
Yeah, the Stephanie Miller Show does not promote or condone the idea of kicking somebody's ass just because of what they say, or anybody pretending to be that person.
Who's particularly good impressionist.
Or anybody who may or may not have shown up on an America's Most Wanted as a fill-in actor pretending to be the criminal in question.
All right. Greg Jarrett on Fox News. Oh, he's one of those straight news, down the middle. Right. Yeah.
You know, the president is on record as having said all along, knew nothing about it, didn't authorize it, didn't deal with it, wasn't involved. And all of a sudden, the president invokes executive privilege, which suggests was some White House involvement. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah, because, you know, secret stuff is...
No, it doesn't. The AG cannot request executive privilege coverage for information that they just don't want the general public to have, which, by the way...
Right.
I don't know, like undercover cops in there and their home addresses, things like that. There's elements where you don't want them released, no matter how much Daryl Issa wants that stuff thrown into the public record. And the president is the only one who can act can offer executive privilege to the AG. It has nothing to do with the conversations between the two of them. That's in the executive branch, that's who's in charge of invoking it.
By the way, can I have my love music, please?
Sure.
Excuse me a second. I really don't mean to be rude.
It's okay.
But, Sean.
Yeah.
When you brought up executive privilege, like no one's ever done that before?
Yeah.
Remember Bush used it for Valerie Plame? Remember that whole thing? Outing a CIA agent during
CIA
wartime?
Agent.
Which is treason, Sean.
Yeah.
Which I know makes you hot when a Republican does it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you're a fine American other than that, Sean. Okay.
Sean.
Oh, boy.
Really? Really?
It's not his fault. And who knows how many un-Fox stations he's available on. You know what I mean?
James Colby, Fox News straight anchor.
Colby.
Yeah, right down the middle straight anchor again.
Can the president have it both ways, say that the White House had nothing to do with the Fast and Furious program, and at the same time exert executive privilege over documents that dealt with, as Jay Carney had said, the operation?
Yes.
Yeah, they can. And by the way, can Fox News have it both ways? That they can hate executive privilege when the Obama administration invokes it, but love and cuddle it whenever George Bush did it?
Because
apparently
they are a giant.
Right-wing hypocrites!
And the reason why they think your scripts are written by Eric Bollert from Media Matters is because all of their scripts are written by two people as well. They get marching orders. Sean Hannity and those guys get all their editorial marching orders from Roger Ailes, end of story. They take orders.
Yeah. We don't have a Roger Ailes.
Yeah.
How could this unbelievably unprepared pile of mess be written by anyone, Chris?
I know.
You put the name Alan Smithy on it every
day. It's so hard to hide.
Produced by Alan Smithy.
It's so hard to hide the cue cards. With all these weird spy cameras all over the place.
All right. And finally, Stuart Varney on Hannity.
Who's out there for him? Arnaud Wintour, of all people, grotesque snob, this awful monster in the office.
And don't be late.
Don't be late. This exported British socialist coming over here, making a ton of money, trying to change us to be more like them, and is a principal supporter of the President of the United States of America.
I despise a feat snob.
What about
intensely?
That
what
are
about
imported
Russell
from
Brand?
Britain and dare to comment on what happens here in America? What
As an American, I'm appalled by this sort of thing happening. Okay.
Can you pull somebody over in Arizona for an accent?
That was
conceivably
awesome.
Under Senate Bill 1070.
That might have been my favorite right-wing world ever. Okay. You know what? I'm going to save that all in carbonite right there.
Oh, see what you did there. Are you going to send this to Sean Hannity?
Yes, I am. You know what, Sean? I will buy you carbonite for free.
But they don't like it when you record stuff and play it back for them of them saying stuff. They hate that.
All right, 20 minutes after the hour, right back. Hump Days with Hal Sparks on The Stephanie Miller Show.
What the hell was that?
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Don't make me lose my mind. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gonna make me go all out. Up in here. Mm-hmm.
Up in where?
Here. Here. Yeah. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, up
show.
In there.
Up in here.
Uh-huh. I thought you meant. Oh, okay. Right. Well, that makes sense.
Not in the transvaginal probe kind of way.
No.
Okay. Wow. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 25 minutes wow. after the hour. Hey, speaking of which, women's health issues create surprising vulnerability for Eric Cantor's re-election.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
What do you know?
Bad news for Hal Sparks, who does an awesome Eric Cantor impression. But, good news for America.
Bitch face now. Yeah, it's just, you know, I'm going to win because I am the face of Virginia. When you think of coal miners, you think of Eric.
Virginia is lovely. It is not nearly that irritating. My sister and her family live there. The face of Virginia is not.
Listen, one of the things that's annoying about Virginia is that when you're driving, you have to go up a hill and down a hill. I'm going to side with all those mountaintop mining and just flatten those suckers out and pave them.
So Virginia's just the right height?
Yeah.
For Mitt Romney?
Mitt Romney will be able to walk across the state.
All right. New polling from Virginia's 7th Congressional District, one of the more reliably conservative districts in the country, shows surprising vulnerabilities for... House Majority Leader Eric Cantor, especially on the issue of women's health.
Go figure.
Voters say they would support a pro-choice candidate over a candidate who's pro-life by 68% to 23%.
Mm-hmm.
The finding comes after intense media coverage of, you know, transvaginal Bob,
sure.
the governor there, which many procedures described by many critics as state-sponsored rape. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Cantor has 100% rating from the National Right to Life Committee. The poll also calls into question his scorched earth policy when it comes to working with the Obama administration. 59, that's almost 60, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Very close.
59% of voters say they would support a candidate who works with President Obama some of the time, compared mm-hmm. to 32% who say they would vote for the candidate who opposes virtually everything. Proposed by the White House, as Cantor and the rest of the GOP have insisted on for much of Obama's first term. Asked about Cantor specifically, voters disapprove his handling of government spending, health care, and reining in the budget deficit. But otherwise, a really great job. Nicely
yeah.
done.
Yeah. By the way, Wayne Powell is the
it's
Democrat.
It's about even. 43% would vote to replace him, 41% to reelect him. And Wayne Powell, who is awesome, 30-year yep. Army veteran and moderate Democrat, is running against him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Colonel.
Yeah.
Wayne Powell. Yeah, and Madeline Stowe is actually campaigning for him. Sweet.
Madeline Stowe.
Damn. Married to Brian Benben.
Really?
Yeah,
that's
I love Brian
Benben. Dream
On.
I love Brian Benben, and I love Dorito and Dream On.
Yeah, oh, Dream On was amazing. Dream On's the reason why HBO is on the map as an original programming
that's
thing.
True.
Everybody
yeah.
will blame it on, you know, say it's the Sopranos and stuff. Dream On was the, and,
yep.
and that was Marta Kaufman, David Crane, and Kevin Bright who
that's
brought
right.
you Friends.
Yep.
That's right.
And that's
genius,
when I first fell in love
genius
with.
People.
Very Wendy Malick, who is the most hilarious woman in the world.
I had a massive crush on Wendy Malick during mm-hmm. Dream On You, and it still stands.
Everybody used to say she looks like my big sister, and I had the most startling moment. I interviewed her live on television once, and as I was talking, she reached over and pulled some hair out of my mouth because it had fallen on my lips.
Just like your sister would do.
Mm-hmm. I was like, did you just put your fingers in my... it was very sweet and sisterly.
Yes.
She was like, let
yes.
me,
wow.
honey, your hair is on your lipstick.
Oh.
And she just, yeah.
Yes.
It's a little bit disarming.
Worked with her in a cartoon.
Put your finger. Yes.
Not in that way. All sparks. Debbie in New Hampshire, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Deb. Hi, Deb. Good, go
Hi.
Ahead.
Hi. Mm. Choose your words wisely.
Oh, informational. Okay, that too.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right.
Debbie, he is one hot little informational, sexy liberal sausage,
oh,
isn't he?
Oh, my God, he's awesome. Also, Jim and Chris, of course.
Right.
Yes.
Yes, but I wanted to say one mistake that this man was making, that he keeps saying Obama doesn't like business people.
Right.
No, Obama does not like, he's talking about Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney does not create jobs.
Yeah.
Right. He's not saying all rich guys are evil, all business people are evil.
Not
it's
at all.
The way you do business. If the way you do business is specifically working with companies that specifically outsource American jobs,
mm-hmm. you make money by destroying
that
things.
That is
yes.
not the way.
If you making money costs everybody
yes.
else money and you're gutting the
yeah.
United States economy, I'm not a fan.
Here you go. 29 minutes after the hour. You know who I am a fan of? Hmm. Representative Jackie Speier.
That's right.
Next.
Nice segue.
Thank you. On the Stephanie Miller Show.
They should market this to drunks. Or us. Or...
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. Hump Days with Hal Sparks continues. There is news breaking left and right this week. Obviously, we have the immigration ruling. Tomorrow, the Supreme Court ruling on health care will be coming down. Today is supposed to be the full House vote on contempt for Eric Holder.
I think that's supposed to be Thursday.
Thursday. Yeah. Today's Wednesday. Sorry. Anyway, to talk to us about all of that, Representative Jackie Speier of the great state of California, one of our personal favorites. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Where do we start? Okay. So the
pick.
All right. Let's start with the immigration ruling. What are your thoughts on that? We've been talking about that all morning.
Well, the DREAM Act is a no-brainer. Why would we want to somehow penalize youngsters who come to this country with no intention to commit any fraud or deception, who have been upstanding students and who want to study here and continue to live in the country that they know is their own? Why wouldn't we want to give them the opportunity to dream? And so I think it's been a great win for the president.
Well, and legal analysts are saying that this essentially backs up his, you know, gives him the authority to the order that he did last week about not deporting younger immigrants, correct?
That's correct. So Homeland Security will no longer be pursuing young people who are here and do not have documentation.
Well, I mean, it's interesting how the right wing is trying to say this is a win, Jan Brewer and others, when this clearly, on any legal front, it was an almost total victory for the president and the White House, correct?
That's absolutely true. There has been an unwillingness to provide any kind of benefits to this young population of students who are excelling in school, who want to stay here, who have no other world but this world, have only known this world. And we have every right and, frankly, every responsibility to make sure that they can continue to succeed.
So you've obviously been such an amazing, advocate for health care, and clearly we are here, right? Tomorrow it will be the big ruling. What is your prediction, first of all?
Well, my prediction is that they are going to hold that the individual mandate is not constitutional. I find that almost unbelievable, because when you have so much of the gross domestic product engaged in health care, how can you say it's not a part of interstate commerce? It absolutely is. This is an effort by a very political Supreme Court to continue to support the interests of Republicans by promoting Citizens United, by the Montana decision making it even clearer, and now by taking away health care for so many millions upon millions of Americans who have already enjoyed some of the benefits.
So you are pre-outraged. You don't have any early information. You sound like you're almost sure they're going to do that.
Well, I don't have any early information. I'm just anticipating the worst and maybe hoping for the best.
Right. Well, and the other thing, we were reading an article this morning that obviously single-payer advocates like me are actually saying they really think this could open the, if they do strike down the whole thing, it could open the door to Medicare for All. What do you think?
Well, I actually agree with you. I think that over time, I don't think it's going to come anytime soon, but, once you take the individual mandate out of the Affordable Care Act, all those other benefits that are really propped up by having this individual mandate that extends the net and includes so many more people, so many more healthy people, that you can, in fact, include all these benefits for people who aren't healthy and all the preventative care for people who are, all of that falls by the wayside. And then premiums are going to start to escalate again. They have been tapped somewhat by the fact that 85% of the premium dollar has to go to health care. All of that will happen, and I think at some point the American people are going to realize Medicare for All is really the answer. I don't think it was messaged right early on. If we had come out by saying Medicare for All, we wouldn't be here, I don't think.
I totally agree with you. Representative Speier, you are not of the, I know that some of obviously your colleagues have said they think you could work around not having the mandate, but you are not of that mind.
No, I think realistically you cannot fund the other elements. I mean, the preventative services in which people do not have to pay a copay, the senior citizens who 32 million have benefited from that, others some 54 million have benefited, all of those cost money. I mean, the copays for like a colonoscopy are hundreds of dollars, $400, $500, $600. You cannot continue to provide that service if you don't have a large pool from which to be able to provide health care to all and also be able to cover the very sick and those who are more healthy. So I think over time it just will fall. As a result.
So Representative Speer, tomorrow obviously is going to be explosive. The full House is going to decide whether to hold Attorney General Eric Cantor in contempt of Congress, which, of course, once again... Eric Holder.
Holder.
Yes. Oh, that was just, that was just a pipe dream of mine. Yeah. That was just wishful thinking. Sorry. I misspoke.
You're reading his wife's thoughts.
Yeah, sorry. Congresswoman, I mean, I just, you know, this, of course, unprecedented, and, you know, clearly just a political charade. What is going to happen with this, do you think?
What will happen is, frankly, nothing. For us to spend the hundreds of and hundreds of hours, both on the committee staff and in the Department of Justice, pulling all these documents, there's 6,700 pages of documents that have already been provided, and to have this effort on the House floor, unprecedented, it will probably succeed because it will run along party lines, and then it will sit. They are now suggesting that maybe they're going to take bring a civil action in court to define whether or not the executive privilege assertion that was made is appropriate. But, you know, this is all about brinksmanship. This is all about the political sandbox where, you know, if you're not throwing sand, you're not succeeding. And unfortunately, I do think the American people see through this, and I think that at some point have got to stop this kind of activity.
Yeah, and excuse me, but, you know, in terms of producing evidence, you know, Steny Hoyer challenged Daryl Issa to produce evidence that the, you know, linked the failed gun walking program to an effort by the administration to press new gun laws, which, of course, is Daryl Issa's little conspiracy theory, as he mentioned on Fox News. And he said he has evidence of that, and, of course, has not produced it.
Well, and, you know, what's very interesting about this, first of all, you know, he speaks out of both sides of his mouth. On the Sunday shows, he said he has no evidence that the president knew about this Fast and Furious.
Yep.
And yet on Monday he sends a letter to the president basically suggesting that he had knowledge, because why then would he assert executive privilege? Executive privilege has been asserted by President Bush. His own Attorney General, Mukasey, said at the time that executive privilege extends to documents within the departments of your administration. So this is all about trying to embarrass the president by bringing this contempt action against Attorney General Holder. And it's important to note that the NRA is scoring this vote.
Well, I was just going to say
scoring this vote. So if you don't think this has everything to do with the NRA, then you know, I've got some.
Right. Well, here's the story that made
got
me
some
the,
loose guns to
yeah.
sell you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But this is the, you know, this is the part that made me the sickest. Is Steny Hoyer signaled that some Democrats could join with Republicans in holding Cantor, or excuse me, Holder in contempt because of pressure from the NRA. Mm.
You know, that will probably be the case, that because the NRA is scoring it and because we don't have, you know, steel spines in each of our backs, that may in fact be the case. But it should not be lost on anyone that the gun walking that's going on in Arizona right now is going on whether Fast and Furious is going on or not.
That's right, Pam.
And that this effort was undertaken by the George Bush administration with the wide receiver. They all have these macho names associated with them, which I find kind of interesting. And I think the whole effort by Chairman Issa is fast and foolish, and I think people are going to tell him that.
Good one. Listen, when we take back Democratic majorities and control, can you promise me you will hold a hearing holding Eric Cantor in contempt of?
I can't promise you that.
All right.
I need evidence.
All right.
We'll get right on that.
I'll have more than Daryl Issa does on this thing.
Yeah.
All right. Representative Jackie Speer, the great state of California. Thanks so much, Representative.
My pleasure.
All right. Appreciate it. There she goes.
Does wrinkling your nose at every good bill that comes through count as contempt?
I don't know.
Cantor going, I don't think that's good.
I don't like
that. That helps far too many people.
All right.
Some of them brown.
Keith and Kalia, we would lose Eric Cantor's bitch face. Which would be the sad part. Keith in Columbia, South Carolina. Hi, Keith. Hello, Keith.
Keith.
Oh, Keith, going once, going twice.
It's Keith, you know, he's another.
Keith Richards. He does.
That'll happen with Keith Richards.
Yes.
Bill in Albany, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill.
Good morning, Mama. How are you?
Good morning.
I'm still basking in the glow of the Sexy Miller Boston show.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
But that, and that growth. Oh, God. Yes. And small business owner that was on.
Right. With 250 employees.
Yeah.
Yeah, with you.
Who pays 50% in taxes.
Yes, I am a small business owner that stumbled on your show.
Yes.
Go ahead. He needs a new accountant.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I'm paying 1,000% in taxes.
Right.
Because of President Obama.
Thing, yeah. The other thing that kind of amazes me, quite frankly, is how these billionaires can be throwing millions of dollars at Romney's super PACs, but they don't want to pay just a little bit more in taxes to help people.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
exactly.
A 4% difference.
Yeah.
P.S. They a good portion of a lot of these guys' income, and including the guy who probably called in, and if he doesn't, he should be ashamed of himself. He doesn't go to, like, every bank offers it. But you get investment income when you're pulling in that kind of money. When you have 250 employees and you've got that kind of money coming in, you're investing money, and that money you're making, you're only paying 15% on, period.
That's a great point, though. Sheldon Adelson can afford $100 million to defeat President Obama.
He can afford $2 billion.
Yeah,
he can drop every dime spent on this election out of his own pocket and never miss it.
Thanks to Chinese money.
Yeah, exactly.
45 minutes after
enough about Crossroads and GPS.
All right, back with the remaining moments of Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, a freak show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Are you required to play this song on a Friday?
Or how far?
It's Friday somewhere, I think.
50 minutes after the hour.
Maybe a collab.
Terry wants to know, can you ask Hal why his tongue was Democratic blue while appearing with John Fugelsang last night on
the
Current?
All the questions about me dating Smurfette.
Incorrect. Not true. Yeah.
Hmm.
You ate a blue candy?
Because I'm a Democrat through
and
through.
And how did Candy feel about it?
Because I'm Democrat through and through, and I spit hot fire. What can I say?
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. We've been watching funny Twitter accounts during the commercial break, including is Jan Brewer the what is it, Madam Jan Brewer?
Yes, it's Madam. It's at Fake Jan Brewer. It's Madam Jan Brewer.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
Someone asked her how many cigarettes a day does Jan Brewer smoke, and she answered, "How many don't I smoke? XOXO, Governor Brewer."
That's awesome. My bony fingers. Okay.
Well, I can't tell if I'm smoking cigarettes in my fingers.
Road flares.
I can't keep my nails lit.
All right.
You know what?
Mike and Rocky Mountain Mike have sent us a 72-year-old man is accused of threatening his neighbor with a gun for farting outside his apartment. Daniel Collins Jr. is a kid. Listen, you know what? The Stephanie Miller Show, we support everyone's right to fart free. This is a free country. You have the right to fart freely without being threatened.
Just be rude to fart indoors.
I don't know. Do they have a stand your ground law there? Is that really?
Collins was charged with aggravated assault, unlawful possession of a firearm, possession of a weapon for an unlawful purpose, and terroristic threats. No word if the other man was charged for terroristic farting, but we support
you. We salute you.
Yes, we do. Oh, speaking of which, how exciting is this? We were talking about shush. Yeah. Eric Cantor, the polling showing him vulnerable in his district in Virginia,
right.
And running against him, speaking of heroes, is Colonel Wayne Powell, right?
Yes.
Yeah, powellforva.com is his website. Hello, good morning, Wayne.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you so much for calling.
Oh, well, thanks for mentioning my name. One of my friends called and said, hey, they mentioned your name on Stephanie. No,
absolutely.
So I figured I'd call in.
Awesome.
Well, that's awesome. And you're a colonel, correct?
I'm retired in 2002, yes. USA, United States Army retired. Yes.
30 years, right?
Yes, 30 years.
Wow, thank you for your service.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for thanking me. I'm more concerned about my son, who's now in Afghanistan.
Oh.
Second tour, one tour in Iraq, and now he's in Afghanistan. But as a father, of course, that's all I think about these days.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Colonel, so I was, were you surprised by this polling? Is really showing vulnerabilities for Eric Cantor. I'm glad you called, because I know one of the things is that you're not widely known yet. But I mean,
I'm not, and that's probably the biggest detriment so far in the campaign, because as I meet people and appear before groups, I'm being well received by both Republicans, Independents, and Democrats. But no, I wasn't really surprised by the polling, because I mean, I live here in the 7th District and have all my life. I was born and raised in Churchill and Highland Park, which are not known as the high socioeconomic parts of town. So I've been here. Mm-hmm. I'm a native of Richmond. And so I know how people
my niece,
are.
My niece and her husband live in Richmond.
People, so.
Yeah. My niece and her husband live in Richmond, and my sister and her and my brother-in-law live in Lynchburg, Virginia.
Oh, wow. Well, tell them to give us a call.
I will.
You need volunteers.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Colonel, interesting, though. I mean, I think that, what did I read? Like 43% are to 41% are open to replacing Cantor.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah, you must be encouraged by those numbers.
I am. And, of course, my big challenge now is to get, well, to be very honest, to get enough money to get my name out there. You know, media. You know the drill.
Yeah, sure.
The media. And I've gotten some earned media, first of all, of course, with you right now, but also the local papers. As a lawyer, I represented pro bono the ladies who were arrested back on March 3rd when they were protesting the transvaginal legislation, legislation that Governor McDonnell was proposing here in Virginia, and the ultrasound legislation. And so I represented the ladies. I went down there after they were arrested, and I was so appalled by what I witnessed that I just told them I'd represent them. And, of course, they weren't all women. A lot of the men also defended their rights. And that got me some media. And, of course, they, of course, announced when my nomination was secured and so forth. But otherwise, as you know, you've got to get – when you're facing people like Crossroads, GPS, and all those – those
dark money groups.
Thank you for your service also in the war against women. I didn't even know that. But I mean, you're right.
That's what I believe. I mean, I'm doing nothing more than what I've always done in my legal career. I believe in social equality and economic fairness. And in this country right now, both are threatened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and absolutely, as you say, it's not just women. It's anyone that's against state-sponsored rape, essentially.
That's what we call it. That's what I consider it.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Colonel, you know, interesting in the polling, too, a vast majority of people want someone that will work with Obama and the White House, not against everything as Eric Cantor has done. Do you sense that mood on the ground when you're there in Virginia?
I do. I think that people are tired of nothing happening, and there's room to compromise on all sides. I mean, we have a serious deficit, we have a serious debt that needs to be dealt with. However, we need to talk about it, we need to plan. And as you mentioned, my 30 year history with the military, I was a commander 10 of those 30 years, and before we performed any kind of exercise or any kind of operation, and after I was mobilized following 9/11 and went to Washington with my anti-terrorist intelligence production group, we had to have a plan. We had to have an operational plan. We had to have after-action reports. We had to deal with, sometimes mediate with the active duty forces. Of course, I was an active reservist and so forth. And that's what you have to do to get things done, to defend this country, to correct the deficit, to correct all the things that are wrong. And there are many things wrong that we need to work on. But I'm an optimist, and I think that when I go to Congress, and I am going to go to Congress, I'm going to talk to people with whom I may not agree, but I know we can work things out, because it's really for you, it's really for all the Americans in this country, and the 7th District, who has not had a representative for you probably more than 12 years, but at least the last 12 years with Eric Cantor.
Wow, right. What an awesome candidate we have. This is very exciting for us
you
this
are.
Morning. This is really exciting.
By the way, his on Facebook, the page is Wayne Powell for Congress, if you want to go there and like it.
And PowellForVA.com is your website.
Right, is the website.
I hope he wipes that smirk off Eric Cantor. Bitch face.
All right, stop it now.
It's too
nice if he decides he wants to debate me, because as my strategist Mudcat Saunders said, we would like to sit down and chat about things.
Yes,
and he won't debate you.
Oh, he doesn't want to appear before.
Interesting.
Interesting.
He knows what people will see.
Actual conversation about actual issues as opposed to this.
He doesn't want to do that. He would rather do it in sound bites in D.C.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And Colonel, you consider yourself a moderate Democrat, right?
Well, I consider myself first and foremost an American,
right.
And, you know, people have these labels they put on you, and I don't know. I believe in equality, and we've already talked about that for women's rights and as well as LGBT. And you know, I don't think the Constitution says, well, everybody's equal except for these people that are three-fifths of people, meaning black people back in the times when it was written. I mean, it means everybody, and that's what we aspire to, a better union. That's what it says in the first few words of the Constitution.
Colonel, let me just say you had me at hello, and you complete me, and I want you to come back on the show. We're out of time for today, but we're going to have you back again. And we're so thrilled that you called us, and it's PowellForVA.com. Thank you so much, Colonel.
Have a great day.
You too, sir. There you go. Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, look at that.
Wow.
And Wayne Powell for Congress on Facebook.
Yep.
I bet his friend said, by the way, she's a gay, so throw something in there at the end.
Nope.
We will see you tomorrow.
It's good that way.
Thank you,
guys,
Sparks.
In
I love you.
Michigan, Grand Rapids, Michigan this weekend.
See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.